This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Ian Boltzmann. FUBAR Radio.
That's me now.
Yeah.
That's me then.
Yeah.
Oh.
2 hours.
Welcome to the show. I've got a sore bum.
What?
I've got a sore bum.
What's happened?
I don't know. I don't know. It's got a fissure or something.
Hemorrhoid?
I don't think it... There's no lumps.
Oh.
No lumps.
I thought a fissure was a bit lumpy.
No, fissure's a tear.
Ooh, the anal fissure.
Yeah, yeah. But you can't always feel it because it might be up inside the actual bottom itself.
Is it quite, like, itchy? Does it feel
a bit... No, it's not itchy. It's just... you'll notice today I'll be going from foot to foot quite a bit. It's murder sitting on the train.
Oh, okay.
Coming up on the show today, besides arse chat, at 4:30 we have Taz Skylar in the studio talking about the new plays Warheads at the Park Theatre until the 7th of September. That's Taz Skylar. Is that a boy or a girl?
Boy.
Boy. Then at 5 p.m, Hope Ikpoku Jr. is on the show. Is that a boy or a girl?
Boy.
Boy. A new series of Top Boy on Netflix is coming out in the autumn.
Exciting.
I didn't know Gotham had, the new series of Gotham, or the last series of Gotham was on Netflix.
Dropped on Netflix.
Yeah, it's dropped that as. Then at 5:30, Richard Whisker is that boy? Is that boy?
Boy.
Is on the show. Flatmates is on iPlayer now, playing the song Wildfire.
He's a friend of the show, returning guest, Richard Whisker, friend of the show.
Who's that?
Richard. He was in Tracy Beaker. Remember we had him in a while ago?
Don't remember.
Well, he's a friend of the show.
I thought he died.
Ian Boltzmann.
Swear to God, if this coffee has got milk in it, it's not.
No, it hasn't.
Just tasted milky. Maybe it's because I had mouthwash, Nat. Could that make my coffee taste milky?
When did you have mouthwash?
Well, interesting story about that, because I had mouthwash from my train to the tube, and then realised that I had nowhere to spit it, so I wandered off to the bus terminal at Euston Station and found a little corner where I could spit it out. But it was awful. Somebody asked me for change, and I had to just go, and I got my mouthwash out of my bag and showed it to him. I went,
Yeah. Why did you not just have it before you left home? Or here?
Because it wouldn't... Because I need it, like, regularly through the day at the moment. When I
okay.
But also, found out, too late, my gum's playing up again. I've had a dodgy gum recently.
Yeah, yeah, for a while. But
yeah,
it was
but
fixed.
It went all back to normal. It's fine. And then on Saturday just passed, it went mental again. And I've been controlling it as best I can, but I do mouthwash regularly, or salt water, but I can't really carry salt water around me. So, you can't.
Pop it in an Evian bottle.
No, because then I'll forget and I'll swig it and drink it.
Yeah.
So, I had a banana on the train.
Horrible.
Thinking that that's soft, that won't hurt my gum. And sure enough, it was soft and didn't hurt my gum. But subsequently found out, worst thing you can have. For tooth pain, banana.
Why is that?
High in sugars.
Oh,
apparently,
okay.
Is what it is. And the sugar will irritate the gum and will irritate any abrasion therein. So, made a rough meal back, didn't I?
Don't you think bananas are just wrong anyway?
No, I think they're brilliant.
The texture of them makes me feel queasy.
Well, it depends what you're doing with it. Are you eating it or shoving it up yourself?
Well, either, but...
You mustn't.
Don't do that. I mean, either way makes me feel queasy.
You mustn't
it's
do
just
that,
the, it's like, it's too... It doesn't know what it is.
What do you mean?
I mean, it's not
think
soft.
A banana knows exactly what it is.
It's kind of not hard. It's not soft, but it's not like jelly, but it's not... It's just a really weird... You've got those weird flaky things coming off it.
What difference... What you've just said, what's different in that description to a banana or a cake?
I hate cake as well. That's my issue with cake, too. It's not sure what it wants to be.
What?
Because, I like a biscuit, nice and crunchy.
No, it's just that you've given it a mind. What do you mean it's not sure what it wants to be?
It's just... The M word, which I hate, moist, but is that?
Not always.
You can't really chew cakes, it just dissolves in your mouth.
That's nonsense.
I hate cake so much.
Right.
I think I've got a fear of it.
A fear of cake?
Not cheesecake. That's acceptable.
But that's cake.
But it's not cake, because it's crumbly. Well, that's the only cake I'm willing to.
Clues in the name, mate.
Well, it's the nice cake. It's the good cake.
I don't think anything that you just said about cake is actually true. I don't think it does melt in your mouth.
It just.
I don't think you could suck a cake like a boiled sweet and it would just go away.
You don't really eat cake, though, do you?
Well, maybe this is what the issue is. What are you doing with it again?
No, I mean, it just sort of. It's just there. It's got a weird texture.
Do you mean it's just. All your like your boundaries for what you're talking about are all wrong. It doesn't know what it is, and you don't really eat cake. None of that is true. Cake knows exactly what it is, if indeed it has cognitive thought, which it doesn't. Mm. And it does. It does know exactly what it is, and it's not just there.
It's just a weird texture.
But it's not.
It is, because it's like
it's no weirder than steak.
Wet and dry at the same time.
So steak.
Oh, the steak's delicious, though.
So is a sausage.
Yeah, but I could chew a steak and a sausage.
Right, so it's...
Can't really chew cake.
So you just want to chew things? You're a fucking Labrador. What do you mean? Do you just need a chew toy, essentially?
No, I need to chew something before I swallow it. So.
But everyone has to chew something before they swallow it. Unless it's
not
mousse.
Not an oyster. Not an oyster.
What about mousse? What about chocolate mousse?
You just sort of suck
now,
it.
Now, what are
your
thoughts on it?
Well, I don't like chocolate mousse. Raspberry and strawberry mousse I quite like.
Oh, so you're fine with that? But you don't get to chew that. It's got a weird texture.
A bit like yogurt, really.
You can put it in your mouth and it just goes... Like, you don't have to chew it at all. That's true of mousse,
yeah,
for certain.
Yeah, exactly, right?
So all the things you hate about cake, you've got no issue avoiding raspberry mousse.
Crumbly thing about cake. I actually... I feel the same way about cotton wool, velvet and unvarnished wood. Right. I can't touch any of it.
My last art run was all on unvarnished wood.
Oh, God, don't you feel... Doesn't it make you feel... Like, there's a tray that we have here.
Proud.
Which people carry, but I can't touch it. It makes me want to just throw myself against the wall.
Because it's dry.
It just feels... It's not nice on your hands.
I honestly don't get this. So what were the other things? Unvarnished wood.
Cotton wool and velvet.
Cotton wool I can kind of understand.
Oh,
and I don't have that myself, but I could kind of understand it with cotton wool.
And actually, more things. Sand and chalk as well.
Sand and chalk.
I hate sand. Because it makes me feel...
Why?
I just feel like I get goosebumpy about it.
Why?
Because it feels weird.
In what respect?
In my hand, it makes my hand feel...
I've got some kinetic sand on my desk in my office.
Right,
that
but you
I play
know.
With.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. It's like magnetic. Kinetic, they call it, but it's... You can mould it into shapes and stuff. Still sand, though.
I don't like it. I don't like sandy as well.
I've got loads left, because I've only got like a little bit of it out on the desk. I've got I've got a big box of it, so I can bring some in if you want. I should probably bring some in.
What, to get me over my phobia?
Yeah, we could have a play with some sand. I mean, I can't do it today or last week.
No, that's true. You can't do it last week.
I could do it at some point.
Okay.
So sand. I understand sand, for like, it gets everywhere and it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, and it doesn't come off.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
It will never be explained to me sufficiently how people can go to the beach. That will never be explained to me, that they will lay in sand, go in the sea... Whilst they're wet, come out to the sand.
Sticks on you. It gets everywhere.
Lay down, not be bothered about it.
Yeah. And then try and get up later and
wipe
it off. But you don't ever wipe it off.
You're human sandpaper is what you're making yourself into.
I
cannot for the life of me understand the appeal of the beach.
I don't really...
In salt water as well. You swim in salt water.
Yeah.
With monsters in it, Nat.
Well, which ones?
There's loads of monsters in the sea.
Well, like what?
Loads. Shark.
Oh, yeah, the sharks are about,
dolphin. And there's whales. Jellyfish.
Sea lions.
Goldfish.
Starfish.
Pikes.
Trout.
Cod.
You said seahorse?
No.
Seahorse.
Swordfish.
Swordfish. Tuna fish.
Starfish.
I said that.
You said starfish?
I said starfish. I did say starfish. Tuna fish.
Tuna fish. You don't have to add fish on the end of tuna.
pilchards.
Why are you skipping ahead?
Sorry. I'm in a fish.
Sardines. Roll. I'm going to go pilchards. And then I'm going sardines next.
Jellied eels.
Pilchards.
Jellied eels.
Sardines.
Mussels.
Cockles.
Cockles and mussels.
You're not having a live-o.
I'm sorry. hold on, what are the other ones? The eels.
Eels?
I've got some. Hold on, I've got ones coming into my head. Red snapper.
Whelk.
Oh, damn it. The water snail.
Boats.
Oh, schooners.
Ferries.
Dinghies.
Wreckage.
Seaweed.
Oh, I was going to do seaweed next. That's going to be the last one.
Okay.
Maybe we've both got to the point.
Seaweed. We haven't had crabs, though, have we? Well, I definitely haven't.
Do you know anyone who's ever had crabs?
No, I don't think so.
I've never known anyone to have crabs. And by the way, I understand people wouldn't say that they had crabs. I get that. I've kept it a secret. But in people who would just tell me. Like, I tend to knock about with people who would just say it.
I got crabs.
I said at the beginning of the show that my bum's been playing up.
That's true.
So it's not, you know, I don't live a shameful social existence. But I have never known anyone ever... That's what I mean. They would. They'd tell me if they had thrush. They'd tell me so why would they not tell
me? Psoriasis, thrush, the classics, but...
Herpes.
Probably less so.
And I'm doing the game again.
Oh, gonorrhea. Diphtheria.
What's that one? HP something?
HP sauce? HPV.
HPV.
That's a double hander there. What are the other ones?
That's one of the things that can cause it. dry humping causes cystitis. That's true, isn't it? Yeah, if you do dry humping, that can cause cystitis.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why.
I'm running out of STIs.
Okay.
don't know, but maybe straight after the show.
I think I might do this at karaoke. Just a little insight there into what I have to put up with when the songs are on. Just gabbling on to
us. I
might do this at karaoke. I don't go to karaoke or anything like that.
I don't reckon karaoke will ever.
It's on about that song, doesn't it? I don't remember it going on that long. No, yes, it does. It's 5 minutes long.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the extended version then. Probably the album version.
Right. Do you think, in fact, I am certain of this, so let's see if you think it as well. And I should say at the outset, I do not say this as a criticism. I actually think it's ingenious.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, I think that is one of them, that there are certain songs that are written with a cynical eye on that they will be used beyond just being a song, you know, that they do themselves, that it'll end up on an advert.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or it'll end up on a... that they are actually written by design to be that. Because I've heard that Ready to Go many, many times before the rugby.
Oh, OK. Have you? You know,
right,
that
finals
makes sense.
And stuff. So the countdown to the beginning of the match. I've heard that played. There's loads of songs like that. I've heard loads and loads of times. Mm. Which have, you know, you're like, oh, this is perfect for this. And I wonder... or I initially wondered whether they're written cynically, and I now think they probably are.
I think there's probably song titles or certain words that you can put in a song which will mean like, okay, this is going to be perfect, we're going to get more money because we're going to get it played before games, half time, or
well, you could
adverts.
Write a song quite easy and go, right, this is perfect for sports, so We Are the Champions. It's like, that would be a perfect song for sports, because if you break down what We Are the Champions is as a lyric, it's an odd lyric.
The
We
Queen.
Are the Champions,
the Queen song.
No, it was Queen that did it. The Queen's never released a single to my knowledge. That gets played, you know, after many sporting events and stuff.
Final countdown.
I've not heard at a sports event, but I'm not saying it hasn't been at one. I've personally not heard
it. I'm trying to think
of other final songs. You don't have to. I'm just saying that sort of thing. I'm not saying now see how many you can name.
We're
I'm saying
games today.
Is that a thing?
Yeah,
that,
I imagine
that people
so.
Do? It must be, mustn't it?
Maybe. Like,
that's
I'm
really
not sure
smart, isn't it?
Publica did that at the time. When they did Ready to Go,
I don't know.
Because that song, I've heard it on adverts and things as well, and it makes sense.
I wonder if they ever meet them when they record songs, because I've not really been in recorded bands.
Oh no,
I've never had a recording contract. But I wonder if there is a meeting with record companies and stuff where they go, now when you do your album and stuff, a couple of songs in there, just have a think when you make them. Just think, could this be used on a car advert? Could this be used at a cup final?
Yeah.
You know, and if there's something you can do to it, give it a little tweak.
Yeah, like
pop it in.
Change the words.
What was the Brian May one he did? And they changed the word, didn't they?
Didn't he have a song called "Driven by You"?
Yeah,
or
everything.
Something?
Everything
I
do is
driven.
It was "Everything I Do Is Driven by You," but he then re-recorded it as "Everything We Do Is Driven by You." I think it was for Ford. I think.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
I think it could have been another
smart move
manufacturer.
From Brian May there.
Well, that's ultra cynical, isn't it? Actually, the changing the lyric.
Yeah, that's true. But obviously, going to be on another car advert.
What was the one that was in the Doors movie? Like My Fire, they did, because that was used on an advert, and Jim Morrison went mental about it.
Yeah, because they did change. They tried to get him to change the lyrics, didn't they? Something about Be Much Higher.
That was in. Well, I don't know if that. I'm sure it must have happened. I think the Doors movie is relatively accurate.
I like that film.
Same. I watched it the other night.
Yeah.
I watched the final cut. If you watched the final cut.
Oh no, I haven't. No.
Very strange thing going on there. Let's finish the story that we talked about. So, Light My Fire, when they appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Yeah.
Right before they went on, according to the movie, so it might not have been right before, they said, we need you to change, couldn't get much higher.
Oh, yeah, I can't remember what it was too, but...
Girl, it couldn't get much better. Do you dig that?
Yeah.
That's what the guy said.
Jim didn't dig it.
And then he went on, because it was a live show, and he did it, he sang higher and did it right to the camera. I don't know if that happened in real life, in quite as obviously as that. But the final cut of the Doors movie, so it's Oliver Stone's The Doors.
Yep.
It's shorter than the other version.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's actually been chopped down.
I wonder why.
It's 2 minutes shorter. I can tell you exactly why.
2 minutes.
I know exactly what's been cut.
What?
There's been 2 minutes cut off the end, right at the end. It's the penultimate scene has been cut completely. It's a bit where he goes out onto the balcony with Pamela and sort of trying to goad her to jump, and he's going to jump and all that sort of thing. That's been cut out completely.
I see.
So it goes straight to the party and then Paris now.
Okay, where she walks in the
bathroom.
Spoiler
alert.
He is dead, Jim Morrison.
No, I mean, spoiler for the film, if you've not seen the film.
Oh, sorry, right.
I think the film's brilliant, although I did watch it with fresh eyes, you know, the other night when I watched it.
Because...
it was really objectionable.
Do you know what I thought? I really like The Doors, by the way. I do.
Yeah.
And I think I would have fancied...
The band or the film?
The band and the film.
Yeah.
And I think I definitely would have fancied Jim Morrison.
Okay. That doesn't take much good doing with you, does it?
But when you watch the film, you're quite right.
I know one thing about him that's a surprise.
What's that?
Go on.
He's a bit, when you watch the film, And I assume that it is quite based because the rest of the band were involved in.
I like seeing you thrown.
I know. I was like, going on here.
Go on.
I'm filling in no, my head. Carry on.
It was good. It was good. You're like a newsreader that's been told we haven't got the footage.
Like, someone's passed away in my ear. Okay. But he does seem like a bit of an arse.
Yeah.
And not easy to get on with. He's horrible to Pamela. He's horrible to the rest of the band.
But by the way, she was also horrible to him.
Yeah.
They were very, what they'd now call a toxic relationship.
Oh, for sure.
You know,
yeah.
They were very bad for each other whilst being a perfect fit, supposedly, because it.
Yeah.
Because they were operating in an environment which was all about, it's fucking Warhol and all that sort of shit. It was all about being arty and being the sensitive artist, but the, you know, completely unreliable and erratic, and you can go violent and all this sort of stuff. So all them things, I don't know how much of Jim Morrison was an affectation. There must have been some.
Right.
Some of it that was an affectation. There must have been.
Because in the film, and I was reading up about it, so I was like, did this happen? When he goes to that sort of witchy ceremony, and he starts having an affair with a journalist.
He married someone else,
that's what happened.
But it was a satanic ceremony.
Right, and he went back to Pamela. Of course, she was furious, like, well, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Also, and then right towards the end, when he knows what, or maybe he doesn't, maybe he was so full of drugs and everything that it got him, but when he goes on stage and he's just, that last performance where he takes his penis out on stage.
He didn't do that, that's the other thing as well. He didn't take his cock out at all. He had his finger through his fly. Is what happened. Now, even in the Doors movie, that it's clear that's what he's doing.
Right.
It's clear that he's got his finger
through
his fly.
But he's trying to take his... You know, well, of course, women are screaming, they love it. But
yeah. But it's an interesting thing, that, isn't it? And it's something that I've certainly been interested in doing, but I've never... I don't think I've ever fully committed to it.
Right.
Because I think there's an air of decency that runs through me that sort of prevents it. So the Andy Kaufman thing... And the Jim Morrison thing, the idea of stirring things up, the idea of being, you know, a bit of a troublemaker and saying things that, you know, provoke something or is naughty and all that. But I don't think I could... Well, you know, and there's people that do it now, like, quote-unquote right-wing journalists who do it. They know exactly what they're doing. Mm. They know they're stirring it up. They know they'll get a reaction and they'll get the retweets and all that sort of business. It's a cynical move, but it's rewarded with, quote-unquote, again, success.
Mm.
You know, that it's... people give jobs based on internet traffic, don't they?
Yeah, so, they do,
So that's not a new thing, that, I don't think. But I think it's a very hard thing to commit to that, to actually... Because I have the capability, in terms of my abilities,
mm-hmm.
I could turn this show into one of those sorts of shows.
Please don't.
I'm not going to, but I'm saying I could
no,
do
I
the actual...
Yeah, you could.
I could do it.
To get a reaction.
But I'd get to a point where I'd be like, I need to say that. No, I don't really think that.
Right. Because then you'd be a character, because you wouldn't be saying what you really think or believe, but you'd be saying what you know could get either some press or some traction on social media.
Yeah.
And it would have to be fairly objectionable stuff.
But maybe that's the comedic side as well. So maybe that's the comedic mind as well, where I'd be like, no, the audience need to know that this is tongue-in-cheek. You know, they need to know that I'm not actually racist. They need to know that I'm not actually homophobic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's ways of doing that sort of thing with a cheeky smile and like, oh, he's being a dick. You know?
Right,
but
right.
There are people who do that for a career.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Who would claim themselves they've not got a racist bone in their body,
right.
And it's all for show, and it's all pandering to the audience and all that sort of business. But I wouldn't be able to do it. I just couldn't do it.
No.
I'd be ashamed, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. I wonder how you feel when you get home at night and you scrub yourself in that shower.
But I guess if you have the capability of doing that, then you probably feel nothing. You probably go home at night and are like, idiots, still falling for it. Idiots, look at my bank account.
Yeah, true.
Do you know what I mean?
That is the thing, is they are making money, aren't they? And being booked on things. So that's the other thing, isn't there? There's a lot of talking heads.
Yeah.
That get booked on shows where they know full well that show, everyone's going to kick off, and there's going to be, but they're going to be trending on Twitter.
Yeah.
And go, why the hell have you got that person on again?
Yeah.
But does it matter because it's being talked about in their eyes?
And those shows, I can tell you firsthand, instruct and influence you to do that. So I remember me and Ed years ago did that worst people of 1 year, something like that.
Oh, those shows.
Most offensive people of something or other. And we got there and there was a list. We got a list beforehand. We're like, okay, that's easy enough to write. I think, what was your man who came on this show? One of the very early shows. Went out with a cheeky girl.
Oh, Lembit.
Yeah,
Lembit
so
Hoopik.
He was on there.
Yeah.
You know, and we gave him a bit of a dusting down and stuff.
Okay.
I hope in a funny way.
Yeah,
and
we
were messing about on that. But as it went on, they were production were more and more saying, could you say this? And could you be, like, could you give us quite an intense dislike of this person?
Right.
And I was going, no, absolutely not. No, not doing that at all. The reason I remember it is because they wanted me to do it to Kevin Smith.
Oh, no.
So it was whatever year Kevin Smith didn't get on that plane or whatever. You know, there was the issue with the... He was too heavy, too fat to fly, he said himself. It was that. So that was one of the stories within it. And they were wanting me and Ed to do, like, fat jokes about him and stuff. And I was like, you won't even be able to cut round this. I'm absolutely not doing that at all. Because I like it, you know, I like what he does and stuff.
I could talk about Tusk and that film we followed up with, the little Johnny Depp one. I can't remember the name of it now.
Yeah.
At the two, it's set in Canada with the two
soda
girls.
Jerker things, whatever it's
called. Yoga hoses.
Yoga hoses,
that I could talk about, but to him and go, what's that? What's going on, Kevin? But not about plane seats.
Well, I don't like either of those films either. However, I will defend the right of the man to make whatever the fuck he wants.
Well, I think that's what he did, didn't he? He was like, it's not going to go through a studio.
Yeah.
I've made the film that I want to make. I don't really care. I know it's not going to make a ton of money, but I'm going to put it out and just cast various people.
And also someone who's in, you know, the end process of making a film, I'm never going to criticise another film ever again.
No, no, don't. Best not to.
But actually, just because I know what goes on. Now, because I know what it's like. And what you have to deal with on a fucking daily basis, and things that you don't have to deal with that you end up dealing with.
Well, I miss Kevin Smith. I think
he's not died.
I'd like a new film from him.
You just said you didn't like his last ones.
Yeah, but I thought he was doing Mallrats too, and I was really excited about that. Because I love Mallrats.
I think it was going to be a comic, wasn't it?
Well,
Stan Lee's not going to be in it, is he?
No.
So, in conclusion.
Yes.
That was a chat overall about cynicism in preparation. So cynicism in artistic creation. We covered Republica. It's spawned that chat. And then, of course, we went on to talk about The Doors, perhaps the cynicism in Jim Morrison, perhaps, maybe. Mm-hmm. I mentioned that I saw The Doors film and we covered that. Cool. Then we moved on to the idea of people telling a lie to be a certain thing. I'm in the middle of a conversation. Telling a lie to be, you know, to be a persona, to be quote-unquote successful.
Yep.
We then got to a first-hand experience thing that I did there. It was an excellent chat.
It was a very good chat. And also, Jay and Silent Bob reboot's coming out in October. Woo! Can I'm really excited.
That whole section, can you clip it and send it to me? Because I'm going to put that...
Where's that going to?
...on my show reel that's going to Talk Radio for an LBC.
You had quite a lot last time.
Yeah.
You're just going to build up the portfolio.
What I'm going to take something from that last show.
Got two shows to go now. Got a lot on that last show.
That bit where we had quite an in-depth comment. I can't remember what it was about.
By everything, about that sizeism.
Danny Baker. We'll get that bit. And I'll put that in bit. Then I'll put a sting. So send me a sting as well.
Yes.
I'll put a sting in the middle of that.
Yeah.
And I'll put that section that we've just done.
Yeah.
It's not because I thought you were rubbish, but I might cut you out of it quite a bit.
You know, we're not Richard and Judy, are we?
Well, for me, a show reel's about me, innit?
You know? Oh, it's true.
I don't want anyone else spoiling it for you. Well, no, I don't want you going, oh, yeah, no, we'd love both of you. I'd be like, oh, no. Do you know what I mean? We like her.
Oh, God.
Because I've got a history of that. So, I can quote you many occurrences that's happened.
That could happen.
So, I don't want that to happen. So, I won't cut you out of it completely.
But we'll just snip around it to make you look like the star.
Yeah, I don't want to be a wise guy about it or anything. It's a bitches that it gets you. It's a bitches that it gets you. It's a bitches that it gets you. Hey, beat out my ass, treat all my bras like trash. You'll catch a blast if you move too fast. I talk with class, you don't have to ask. Getting everything by flashing cash. Fighting and stealing, don't kill without feeling. So I win in casinos before they start dealing. All about respect and intellect. Only mess with the women that pick up the check. Supermodels, one on each arm. One chick's brunette, the other was blonde. I heard their fathers had stocks and bonds. So I fucked them up and left them floating in a pond. Custom made clothes from head to toe. Catch Joe at the fight sitting in the first row. Everybody follows when I'm ready to go. No need to show off, they already know I'm a wise guy. I'm a wise guy. It's a bitch that it gets you. My ass is fat.
catch Joe in Bermuda, throwing him back. Sipping on tequila with a straw hat. Put the press on hold, tell him I call him back. Tollway zones, I don't get a ticket. Any crime committed, Pesci's acquitted. I'm a good fella, I'll tell you if I did it. Freak scenes with your wife last time I hit it. Cause I'm more man than you'll ever be. And it was probably your wife in bed with me. When you see me, you better look the other way. Double cross me, you won't live to see another day. Got 7 cars in my garage, a limousine with a TV and bar. I'm a star, don't do blow and I don't sell crack. Stay alert, I got someone to whack. I'm a wise guy. It's a bitches that it gets you. I don't drive by, cause I'm a wise guy. I just stop by with a couple of guys, and I take your eyes, cause I'm a wise guy. I'm a wise guy. Another day, another court case, it's okay. Somebody on the jury's got rent to pay. Can't see myself in the jail rotten. Plus I got lawyers that are better than Cochran. If there's a witness on tape that they play, probably a broad that I used to lay. The last one to talk was never ever found. Got a call from downtown, put her in the ground. Her mother didn't like me, I never gave a fuck. Her brother didn't like me, I hit him with a truck. Her sister was a rip, everybody got a ride. Her father was a rat, so I buried him alive. If you talk to the cops and try to flee, your car will blow up when you turn the key. Don't cut a deal or have the case appeal. I keep my mouth shut and I never squeal. I'm a wise guy. I'm a wise guy. It's a bitch that it catches. It's a bitch that it catches. I told you before, I don't drive by. I'm a wise guy. I just stop by with a couple of guys.
Joe Pesci again. Mm. Nat just said to me, and I quote, "Oh, Joe Pesci's swearing."
Well, look, I know that he swears in films, but I just thought as an album was coming out, I was surprised.
It's not coming out. It's years old.
It was out. Yeah. As a rapper, I was surprised that he's.
He's not rapping really, is he?
Kind of is.
But
kind of
is.
It's not bad actually. It definitely.
He's in characters. Vincent LaGuardia
from My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah.
And he was sampling Rapture from Blondie there.
I don't know that he had anything to do with that.
Probably not, no. Do you know, in the video, is that the video where Naomi Campbell's just knocking about in the background?
God, you got so excited about saying that. You didn't do anything, any enunciation whatsoever.
Naomi Campbell.
I didn't.
What did I say?
You said something about Naomi Campbell.
No, I did do enunciation, then you got her name, didn't you?
See what I had to put up with, Taz.
No, man.
See what you've walked into.
I know, I'm about to have a wild one, innit?
Yeah. We're joining. Is it, what's up?
No, it's right, I'm just turning his mic up. There we go.
That should have been done beforehand.
Where are you from, mate?
Mate, St Helens.
Say what?
St Helens.
Oh, my mum's from Barnsley.
Well, I was born in Warrington.
Oh, okay.
I've got a very weird accent. My accent is all over the place, and I'm not sure why. I think I've picked up bits of accents as I've gone along over the years.
That's where I'm trying to place it.
I think I have a twang of a Hull accent, and I'm from nowhere near there at all. But there are certain words. Words is one that I say. Like, no, I don't go words.
You did, didn't you? No, words.
It was in the middle,
which is how Hull would say it. Sometimes they say words.
You got the warmth of a northern person. But
I reckon, a generic...
But the bravado of a southern one.
Generic northerner. Oh, I mean, the bravado of a southern one.
But the warmth.
The warmth of the northern one. Very warm.
Let's all have a fight in Birmingham and see who wins. So we're talking today about the play Warheads, which is at the Park Theatre, which we champion the Park Theatre. We love the Park Theatre. That you're in.
Yes,
and indeed. You've arrived today, and I think in an effort to... scare us, I think. You have come in as an army.
Yeah.
You have come in with all army costume on.
I just wanted you to know you couldn't fuck with me, innit?
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, which tells me now you've not done your research. but don't worry, because neither have I. So it is actually a fair fight.
We could do this together, mate.
Totally.
We could do it together.
So are you in costume now, really?
Yeah, I'd literally just ran from rehearsals.
You got combats on?
I got the combats on, I got the boots on.
When you ran from rehearsals, because you were wearing combats and stuff, did you ever find yourself along the journey going, I might roll?
Just for fun.
I might do a roll and then just get up and carry on running again.
Yeah.
Or I might just do it all on my elbows.
Yeah, I thought that when I got into the Starbucks. I was like, we just gonna make this coffee real interesting for everyone.
I would pay good money to follow someone around who was dressed as a soldier for a day, who had to be a soldier all day as if they were in combat. So who had to going into Starbucks, they had to literally do it on their belly, going in. And then on their elbows and stuff, and then just slowly work their way up the counter.
Order coffee by radio.
Or just emerge out of a wall. Like in Rambo, with all camo all over them and that. They could just be in Starbucks. They could be covered in Starbucks.
Tiles.
Totally that, yeah. So covered in tiles. Mm-hmm. Could just blend in at a Starbucks. And then that brilliant bit in Rambo, I think it happened in one of the Schwarzenegger films as well, where he just opens his eyes. It's like, oh my God, he's there. He's there behind him.
You can have mini little tiles for your eyelashes.
Yep. Just... See, I have good ideas, mate.
Yeah, dude. I think you should pitch that to the army.
Pitch it to the army?
Yeah. Urban camo. Urban camo.
I appreciate you might be busy, but do you want to do my stupid idea? So Warheads. Warheads sounds serious. We're dicking about, but it sounds like it's a serious play at the moment. Might be a film at some point.
Could be, yeah.
Because it's about PTSD, is that
it
right?
It is indeed. But I believe that any message that you want to transmit to people always is most effective in a, at least initially, entertaining or lighthearted way as a way in. Like, I think whenever you have a message to transmit and you come straight in, bam, with that message, or straight in, bam, with something that's negative or really depressing, it's like it makes you disconnect from the start. You know what I mean? If you want a broad spectrum, like if I want my mum to go enjoy it, like that was always the thing I said, I wanted to make a play that my mum could come and enjoy.
Okay.
And if she gets something out of it, that's even better. But for her to get something out of it, she has to sit, laugh, enjoy it, and then maybe at the end she might get something.
So you wrote this as well?
I did indeed. Co-wrote it with my good friend Ross Berkeley Simpson.
And what's your... what inspires this for you? Why specifically have you written this show? Is it a personal thing for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was based on my best friend. He was a young infantryman. He passed away not very long ago. And
in combat or
no?
No. Okay.
Yeah, he passed away when he was back home.
Okay.
And, he was very young when he joined, I've seen that a lot of PTSD stories being portrayed and stuff, and a lot of them are really effective, but I've never really seen one represented in very young people, because you can actually join the army before you're legally allowed to play Call of Duty. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is just mental.
Yeah.
And that's something that I wanted to transmit, just touch on and fiddle with.
Is that a generally said phrase, that Call of Duty thing? Because that's absolutely brilliant.
It is right. I don't know if it's generally said.
I think that's absolutely... That is like fucking the argument in a sentence, isn't it? Like that is mental.
You can hold a gun before you can drink, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you can make so many different comparisons. That just absolutely... They're talking about a therapist that we have sort of consulted on the play. She said that she read an article where they were considering higher the age because your brain's still not even fully formed at 17. Do you know what I mean? You need time to develop that.
But you have to play that off against the fitness level, don't you? So you have to go, well, the best fighters are going to be kids. The best fighters are going to be people who are in their physical peak.
Very true.
If we're talking about male fighters, they're going to be their physical peak in their late teens.
Yeah.
So that's, I guess... You know,
testosterone's the highest.
Exactly, that's how it's happened. But you're right, testosterone is the highest, which is the fucking problem.
Yeah, I mean, it's the problem and the benefit, quote unquote, at the same time.
Yeah, but I always struggle. I'll put my cards on the table completely. I always struggle with any discussion about army, about any forces, war, all that sort of thing, because I find I have to hold my tongue sometimes with that. Because
it's a delicate thing. Nobody's ever right. Nothing's ever black and white.
I can't escape from... I really can't, and I don't say this with any disrespect. Certainly not men's, anyway. I can't escape from... Can we break down what a fucking war is, first of all? and why suddenly that's all right because it is a war. And do you know what I mean? That, yeah, the brutality of that and the murder that, that do, is involved in that. Is like, oh no, it's fine because that is a war. It's like,
right.
No, but it's still the act. It's still the thing.
Yeah.
At the same time as that going on in my head, I'm also like, I'm not going to fucking turn my back on this, you know, some soldiers on hard times, whatever, who's fucking, who's done that for whatever their reasoning is. But you presume it's noble and you presume it's like, I mean, let's make no bones about this. There are some just fucking hooligans who are like, I'll get a gun. You know what I mean? That is a thing.
Yeah, and but there's that on both sides because essentially, like, a war is always fought by two idiosyncratic sides, right? And you always take the side that you're from because that's the one that you know. And there's not necessarily a right or... Well, I mean, there always is a right or a wrong, objectively, but it's difficult when you're in that situation to know who... Because essentially, everybody's fighting for their side and what they believe in.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So that's a hard line to cross. And, like, there's people that join both sides because of the gun thing as well. Yeah. You know, like, every young boy, I feel like, grows up and goes to the fair and says, "Mom, can I have one of those guns?"
Yeah, it's an allowed rook.
Yeah,
and girl, I did that too. I like to shoot things at a fair.
It's the funniest thing. So, yeah. Bam, bam,
sorry,
bam.
Sorry, Taz, I'll deal with this. Sweetheart, the boys are talking.
Oh, shit, I'm not getting involved in this one.
Wow.
I'm not getting involved. Julie?
I'm going to say this. Quite a number of females in the army, too, fighting a war.
But do you know what I mean by my general... I don't mean that. I know, obviously, a joke. But my general feeling is very conflicted because I find it a hard thing to discuss because I don't want to piss anyone... Not piss them off. I don't want to insult someone. Yeah. Who has gone through the actual
thing.
In a scenario that I'll never be in. It just simply won't happen.
Respect deserved regardless of the cause.
And very hard to come out of a scenario where you have to get kind of pumped up into the mindset if you are going to have to go and hurt people or people, to come out of the army and then go back to, I can't even imagine, a normal life, which is not having any of those feelings, not doing that. I can't really get my head around that.
The rhythmical change of life, like the level at which you sit at rest, is completely different.
And when you leave the army, do you get any sort of account? I would think you need a few months of counselling.
That's always the debate, isn't it? Is how much of the aftercare, again, want a better word, is there? Yeah. And
but the thing is with the aftercare as well is that, like, the aftercare is something that, I mean, I think there's like a very basic level of general aftercare.
Yeah.
Again, I'm speaking with caution, and I don't want to piss anybody off. There's like a basic level of checks that happen before you leave.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you can ask for more. But the problem is the asking is the record, because depending what culture you come from, like, especially, like, there's the two extremes, and we're talking outside of PTSD, any diagnosis. Like, if you come from Spain, for example, or like Serbia, or these places that have a higher level of machismo ingrained into the culture, admitting you need help for something comes a lot further down the line than if you're a London-based person, because like here you get diagnosed like that for things that probably you don't even, you know, have to the degree which require a diagnosis yet. And again, I'm not talking about PTSD, I'm talking about any sort of...
I get you. And if disorder. You did, as you say, if you're dealing with people who are like natural born killers, then they're not going to like come away and go, oh, I feel a bit, I'm having...
It's just, I'm good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So they might not know all as well. You may not know that you need it or that you need to have it. You
Where
might
know
yeah, I'm
that?
Fine when you're not.
Where's that line?
Now, again, correct me if I'm wrong on this, because I'm not read up on PTSD particularly at all, but I also think PTSD is, in terms of history, it's a relatively new phenomenon. You know, like...
Well, it used to be called shell shock.
That's right, of course it did. Right. But it's relatively new that it's been... And I mean, like, in the last 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
But it's relatively new that it's been diagnosed as a medical condition rather than just, like, oh, he's fucked up from the war.
Yeah.
Oh, don't mention the Germans to your uncle. You know what I mean? He'll freak out, or, you know, that sort of thing.
100%.
So I guess there's... A degree of catching up that isn't happening quick enough.
Yeah, because I mean, there's even I read something not long ago that showed evidence that even like the Crusaders went through PTSD. So it is definitely something that's been around for a long time because it's just something very human. Do you know, I mean, trauma causes stuff to the brain. But the treatment of it is still in process, and it's still, like, there's various, even when you do require it and ask for it, there's art therapy that you can go to. There's like stereotypical, just that's one on one with a person talking.
Yeah,
there's hypnotherapy. There's so many different versions of it that it's still a bit like try which one works best for you.
Yeah,
and you have to have that voluntary.
I mean, there's a whole different discussion with this about PTSD, which is I've heard it randomly thrown about that somebody has PTSD or whatever. They've said, you know, self-diagnosed themselves with PTSD because of something that's happened in their life, that you think this, we're talking about a different sort of PTSD. We're not talking about oh, you don't trust people now because your girlfriend ran off with someone else. It's, you know, even though that can mentally affect you dramatically, there are different levels of that. I think, you know what? Again, not to be disrespectful, I think I had PTSD after watching Midsommar.
Oh, that film that was out recent. Yeah.
I don't.
Do you know that film?
The one, same guy who did the other.
Hereditary.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
That film.
I haven't seen Midsommar.
I haven't got over that film yet.
Do you know what?
But Midsommar.
I'm not even messing.
You're not the only person to say that, actually. There's a few other, another show here.
I don't think it was long lasting.
Right.
So I don't think it's affects me now.
Oh, I want to see it now.
But I think on the day.
It affects your brain.
On the day, after, I got back to the car and couldn't drive. I got back to the car and went, I don't want to start the engine. And I had a countdown for 10 minutes because I paid my ticket. I was like, I will be dangerous driving if I drive now.
Wow.
And I got in a real panic. So I was like, well, I've got to leave the car park now because I'm out of time.
Okay, but that makes me want to see
what
it.
What sound's making you jump?
The whole thing. It didn't make me jump. It was the whole thing is the most disorientating movie I've ever seen in my entire life.
I found that with Hereditary. That was like, afterwards, I sat there going like, I'm actually quite, even though I know it's all supernatural, it scared me.
I didn't like Hereditary.
I loved it.
But I think it was because I was finding it was, because of the stuff that was going on in my real life at that time.
Yeah.
I found it was too close to home, so I think I disengaged. I think,
okay.
I think I went, I can't handle this because this is too much like some personal stuff that was going on in my own life. I mean, there's no ghosts.
Hereditary was.
Wow. Yeah,
it's a mate, what's up at your house?
So it was well, I won't go into detail.
Do you need the Ghostbusters?
It was to do with emotion and to do with hysteria. And,
right,
and,
right. And then the exorcism as well that it happened.
Yeah, I had an exorcism. And also there was loads of ghosts at my house.
That was, we need to come around and help you.
Which scared me at first and then eventually just got annoying.
Yeah, it was just like, get out.
Just ended up finding ghosts really fucking annoying.
At one point you're just like, not now.
Yeah. Just trying to sleep.
How many people, but that's what I mean, but that, even with a kind of crass facetious point,
yeah, no,
that point stands is that like I felt like that, I don't think it's PTSD at all, but I felt like that sort of disorientation and not feeling safe myself and feeling like completely at odds with the world, and like I'm in shock here is what I felt after watching a fucking horror film,
right?
And we're talking about people who lived in a horror film
for many months, if not years. Yeah.
And personal relationships were ended in front of their eyes. All that sort of stuff. The whole process of, regardless of how much you align yourself and calm yourself with the idea of killing someone else because it's a war situation, I can't imagine for anyone. It's certainly the first time.
No.
But it's like, yeah, whatever, mate.
Well, I think it's killing, and also that I may be killed. I don't know when I get up today. This could be my last day in a combat situation.
Yeah.
Right? There's both of those things playing on your mind.
Yeah.
If it is for years as well.
And then, as you say, plonked back.
Yeah.
And that's why as well, like, the training is so regimented, and like to the degree of like your bed has to be folded this way, is because it gives you, the more you can think, the more you can question yourself about it. Whereas if everything is exactly to the point,
right,
and everything is almost clinical, like this has to be like this.
You know?
It's kind of like, so I jump out of planes, for example, and everybody usually says like, oh, I'd be so scared if I went up there and I wouldn't be able to do it. It's like the way the process works is that once you're on the plane, there is no decision as to whether you're jumping. Once you're on the plane, you are going out. Once the pilot reaches altitude, the light goes orange. You wait. The door opens. The light goes green. You sit there. You count to three. You go. The process is there.
It's so a methodical process.
Exactly. It takes your mind off the doing.
Which is actually, that's what mindfulness is. That's just what mindfulness is. It's the same thing is applied to mindfulness. Mm. It's like, you know, occupy your mind with these essentially menial tasks. And
exactly.
they will take you away
from
going, oh my God, what if this doesn't open?
Right.
What if this...
It's the same thing with like using a firearm, is that if you're concentrating on the technique of using that particular firearm and how it functions and how you're supposed to implement that tool, it takes the mind off what that tool is actually doing.
Yeah, exactly.
And again, like, I just want to like give a disclaimer, is that I do not probably have any right to be speaking about this other than, you know, just my personal findings with people.
Do you know what I mean? You don't have to be an expert, do you? Because I think that it's applied consideration is all it is.
It's logical knowledge.
Yeah, I don't think you'd have to experience it to be allowed to talk about it.
And find research on it.
And if you know people as well that have been directly affected by it and all that sort of thing, you know, if that person's not around anymore to tell their own story, then you can tell that story.
To the best of your ability.
Totally that. So I again, not to be condescending, but I don't think you need to disclaim yourself. I think you're put in a perfectly valid position to be discussing it. But
possibly, you know, I think it's just a safe thing out of respect as well for the people who do know to the umpteenth degree what that is about.
Yeah,
it's just to disclaim that you, any of those given people, would have way more of a thing, a specific idiosyncratic view on it.
Than
us speaking about it generally. But as well, at the same time, there is something to be said for people who have a general knowledge about it to speak about it in order to spark more conversations. Because the people who know an intense amount about it know so much that maybe they don't feel the need to speak about it in a general sense.
Course,
people
yeah.
who know less about it
because
it's kind of like there's so much to catch up on.
I have a very different attitude to you with things like that, though. I tend to go,
you said to go, fuck
it, I'm going to say what I think, right, and then I'm going to like essentially drop the mic. It's like, you know, that's what I think.
Right.
I've thought about it already, so I don't need a discussion. I've already thought about it. Everything I say, I've thought about it in advance, mostly.
Mostly being the operative word.
Yeah, no, but do you know what? I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday about this, about being a considered person.
Hmm.
And I really think I am. Like, yeah,
you don't seem to be gung-ho. You seem to have...
I can be.
You look like
can't
you could be.
Yes.
But you look like you have a banister.
Yeah.
A banister?
Banister?
I have got a banister.
You have a banister. You have something that you're...
A barrier?
A barrier.
Maybe? Is that what we're going for?
Something that you're hanging on to. Oh. As in, like, you can lean off...
Barometer.
A barometer. Yeah, you have a barometer.
I have a moral barometer. Yeah, yeah. Which changes. Yeah, it does. It's variable.
Yeah, yeah.
As I think all moral barometers should be.
Yeah.
There are things that I did in my 20s that I would never... I never do now. There are things that I've done now that I would never have done in my 20s.
And also your profession. Like, it's comedians can get away from your profession.
Profession.
Do you know what I mean? Like, comedians can get away with saying very different things than rappers.
Yeah.
And rappers can get away with saying very different things than actors. And actors can get away with saying very different things than radio presenters.
Don't get me wrong, though. I don't present this show. I clean it. They're just the actual presenter hasn't come out. I was like,
it's funny because he never turns up on a Monday. Every other week, he never turns up. So Ian just has to come in and do the show.
It's
all right,
and he has a phobia of soldiers.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
ran away. Them up today, innit?
Just ran away. Now, we're coming towards the end, but I want to ask you as well because early on in this conversation, and again, don't get arsy about this, right? Early on in this conversation, we talked about my accent, and then my accent was all over the place. And I said, "I know, I think it is. I don't know why that is. I don't know why it's." Do you know what I think mine is?
What
I actually think it is. Is that I've had very close friends in my lifetime, very close friends from regional areas with a strong accent, and partners as well.
Uh-huh.
And I think I've took a bit from all of them.
Oh.
And it's made this mishmash of, a northern accent.
Yeah.
Now, I think...
Something important is coming.
Right. No, no, it's not. It's a genuine question, and I'm not... What did he just get out of his pocket?
His phone.
My phone. Am I allowed to take
pictures?
I thought you were getting a gun out.
Emergency contact.
I thought you were like... Go on.
Say what about Northern accent?
Say what you're going to say. Where are you from?
I'm from Spain. I know I don't sound
okay.
it at
No,
all.
I thought you did. You definitely sound like you're from Spain.
You're from Spain. So you're Spanish by birth?
By birth.
Okay.
Well,
so
actually, my parents are not even from Spain, but I'm just a mongrel of stuff, man.
So where's your voice from then?
Well, my accent probably is quite North London now at this point because I've lived here for a few years.
But you've got the street thing going on as well.
I'm an actor, man. Do you know what I mean?
I might not even be his real voice.
No, but I don't find that as offensive as some people do.
What?
That sort of like, I can't even do it. Your voice. Do your voice. Say
London
man.
Voice.
Yeah, man.
Like that sort of thing.
It's just kind of a London.
I think it's
southern.
Got a bit of like. It's got a bit of.
Nah, it's only because I told you. If I would have said. Born
there, told you. I told you.
I would have said London, but you're fine. I would have said Spain, to be honest. But London.
Spanish.
I would,
yeah.
How old are you?
How old do you think I am?
I can't tell because you've got a hat on. I'm going to go for 24.
23. Close.
Okay. Very good. Okay.
Yeah, close guess.
It's all right, isn't
close
it?
Guess.
And so you're from North... Well, you
she does
born
this to me
Spain,
a lot.
From North
she
London.
Fucking brings in children and goes, look at this person who wrote a play about PTSD. What they're achieving in their life.
Get back to mopping.
Toilets are looking a bit dirty today,
mate.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Do you know who I met the other day? I can tell you this.
Really?
I'm going to say it on my Patreon this week, but I can tell you this will be after it.
Do
so
you
I
want
can,
us
I can tell
to
you
guess
now.
Or...?
Oh yeah, go on, guess.
You go first, Taz. Who do you think you met?
I met the other day.
Meryl Streep.
Ian McKellen.
Oh, good.
It was
good
a good show. It's not a performer.
Oh, what is it then?
It's good.
What
no,
do they
no,
do?
This is what we're
oh,
doing.
Is it a
Obama?
No.
Not a politician?
Not a politician.
Was it John Barnes? Is it a footballer?
Not a sports person.
Not a sports person.
But has been involved quite prevalently with sports and politics in their work.
I was going to say Arnold Schwarzenegger, but he's both.
He's done both bodybuilding, hasn't he? He's done sport and politics.
There's somebody that works in entertainment.
Hulk Hogan.
No.
Was it? Is it? Who are you working on?
I mean, there's a decent chance.
Simon Rimmer.
There's a decent chance neither of you will know who he is.
Oh, right, okay.
John Bishop.
Not a comedian.
Not a comedian, no.
Bloody hell, I don't know.
Mate, you're not getting it easy.
I don't know what it is.
Well, ask me some more questions about it.
Are they a presenter?
No.
Are they male or female?
Male.
Are they from the south or south?
They're from a bit of both.
It's the north or south?
North.
Hair colour.
Northern.
Well, kind of indiscernible, really.
Des Lynam.
So bald.
No, he wasn't bald, no. But I don't think his existing hair colour is still there. He's
bald. Oh, he dyes his hair.
No, let's not get caught up on hair colour.
Well, hair colour's good, isn't it? Is it Eminem? No, could be. I wish it was.
You're on all the wrong tracks. I think this is going to be like an anticlimax, but for me, it actually made my life.
What does not even know who it is?
I don't know, yeah, just say.
What other things can you do in entertainment besides actually be a performer?
Produce?
No.
Direct?
Write?
There we go.
He's a writer?
Yep.
Shane Meadows?
No. But you're
Ben
on
Wheatley.
Sort of the right tracks. Again,
Mike Bartlett.
No, from a credibility factor, sort of the right tracks.
Oh, what's that guy that wrote Shameless? Paul Abbott.
No, but very close.
Oh, very close. Oh God.
Very close.
English, yeah. Christ.
Yep.
Armando Iannucci.
No.
Oh, he would have been a great
one. Good one, wouldn't it? Sam Bain.
No, he wrote with Paul Abbott.
Steve Coogan.
No. He wrote a hugely famous series.
David Walliams.
No.
David Walliams.
Oh, Jimmy McGovern.
Yes.
Yeah. He wrote Cracker. Good team effort.
Good hustle.
That's all I had to say about that.
Oh, is there any story to this?
What were you going to say about your accent before?
I met Jim McGovern. I can't remember what was the
story. Was that all of this just elaborate ruse to name drop someone?
Jimmy McGovern. I can do it even better. Yeah. Ricky Tomlinson introduced me to him.
Ooh.
Boom.
Yeah.
So that was at the bowl.
About that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any story for that?
Well, Ricky Tomlinson didn't introduce me to him. Well, there is a story to it. I'll tell you what the story is, but I'm holding this story back for my Patreon, but it'll have been in my Patreon by now, so it's fine, because it's a pre-record. I was in the vicinity of Ricky Tomlinson, who was bowling on the day, right?
Yeah.
And Ricky Tomlinson said to Johnny,
it's Johnny Vegas, by the way.
Jimmy McGovern's just said this. And I was like, fucking Jimmy McGovern's here.
Right.
And I like, look,
do you know who Jimmy McGovern is?
He wrote Cracker.
What?
He wrote Cracker, the series Cracker, which Robbie Coltrane was in.
Sweet.
And he also wrote the Hillsborough. And he was a big campaigner in the Hillsborough stuff.
Yeah.
He wrote a drama that was, what do they call it? Not biopic.
There was something on BBC.
A dramatisation of what happened at Hillsborough and the aftermath and all
but
that.
But he did that thing on BBC, it was called The Street or something. Yeah, Christopher Eccleston was in it. It's on loads of stuff.
I think he started as a writer on Brookie, okay. I think.
What did he write with Paul Abbott? Sorry.
Cracker?
It was Cracker.
Yeah,
okay.
Paul Abbott wrote some episodes of Cracker. Okay. But, so I was like, I want to meet Jimmy McGovern. I don't get like that, but I was like, I want to meet Jimmy McGovern.
Yeah.
I recently watched Cracker again. I was like, I want to meet Jimmy McGovern. And so we sort of, we'd moved away. And then as we came back, I just saw him just sat at the side watching the game when Ricky Tomlinson was playing, right? And I honestly, there was someone taking a photo in front of him and he went, oh, just come past. And I went past the person with the camera and I turned and I very earnestly went, genuinely an honour to meet you. And he just sort of looked at me and went, thank you. And I walked off.
That sounds like a nice moment. A very pure moment.
I'm sure he's been talking about it a lot since it happened.
Wasn't him. Wrong bloke.
Oh, no.
Wrong bloke. And it was the fucking image of him, though.
Right. So he wasn't there.
And this bloke just stared back into my eyes and went, thank you.
So Jimmy McGovern on him was not there?
It was some bloke called Darren. Jimmy McGovern was there.
Right, okay.
I was like, I don't think it was him. I don't think that was him. Googled him. I went, it's identical to him. And then, as I'm having this discussion, fucking McGovern comes the other direction.
Oh, no.
And I went, I think that's him. But at this point, I was like, I'm too scared now.
So you didn't speak to the real Jimmy McGovern?
I shouted, Jimmy. So when he went past, I went, Jimmy! And he turned around, I went, right, it's you, it's definitely you. And then I went over and chatted with him.
Okay. The first one was probably a decoy.
Well, Darren.
That's it, yeah,
Darren
that's
the decoy. I found out his name was Darren.
Good, yeah.
Darren the decoy from that moment onwards. And I thought, I can't tell him. I'm just going to front it out. So I was just really friendly to him all day. And I was really gracious all day going, oh, I'm so glad you're here, Darren. I'm so glad you're here. Like, all day.
That's lovely, though. Darren's gone there for some reason. Yeah. He's really happy that someone wants him to be there. You've made his day.
Do you know when he saw Jimmy McGovern, he went, oh, he thinks I'm fucking him.
I don't think he did.
He was the image of him.
Darren might have needed it that day, man. He might have been
having
a hard day.
You've cheered us up his week.
He might have done.
100%.
But yeah, there we go. That's my story about Jimmy McGovern, who I met the other day. But Warheads, written by Taz and Ross Berkeley Simpson. It's at the Park Theatre, which, you know, like we've said before many times,
we really like that theatre. Yeah, it's a really nice theatre.
Which room are you in at the Park?
We're in Park 90.
What does that mean?
That Park 90 is the smaller one.
Is that the studio little space? Yeah, it's the studio space. Which is my favourite space.
Mm. It's a really cool space. And I just want to say really quick as well how cool everybody at the Park is.
But aren't they, though?
They're so fucking nice.
And I think, well, I mean, you don't have to be crass about it. you can just be generous with your compliment. Like, they're going to go, oh, yeah, we'll pop that on our CV. So fucking nice.
That's a good quote.
Some 10-year-old upstart who's wrote a play.
That's a good quote. We'll go to parktheatre.co.uk for tickets. It's on until the 7th September. It's on now until the 7th September.
Yeah, 15th August, 7th September. Really nice to chat with you, man.
Thank you. Likewise. So I liked you a lot.
Is there a butt coming?
No, it's not.
Well,
no.
Not to a lot,
no, there isn't a butt. There's a... I'm validating what I'm saying because there are people sometimes come in who are like absolutely fine, but then there's other people that come in and you're like, oh, they get it. You know what I mean? They chat and stuff, and they open up and that, and they have a chat, and they don't get pissy because you're going away from what they're talking about and all that.
No, if anything, I want to go away from it more.
No, but you know it's coming back.
You always come back to it.
You know it's coming back. It's just more about sort of getting an idea of the person.
Yeah, you've got to talk about Jimmy McGovern for a bit.
You don't get to, exactly. You know when you're like quote unquote plugging stuff is the worst thing.
I was mainly showing off.
You don't get to meet and get to know anyone if you're just constantly talking about
that. But it's also, and again, forgive me the listener who's heard me say this many times, it's the shittest way of actually promoting yourself.
It is. It's the most horrible. Nobody wants to hear about it, man.
Well, also, including if they like you as a person,
they go, oh, I really like that bloke.
Right.
It's that. If you sell yourself as a person, as an artistic person, as someone who's, you've told your story today, you've said where your play's come from, we've had a dick about and a laugh at the rest of it as well at the same time. You've not come in and said, yeah, it's about PTSD and blah, and just reel something off. We've chatted about other things as well. We've had a laugh. We've dicked about we've been serious when we had to be. This is going to be brilliant for my talk. I'm making a show reel.
And you're in it. Taz, you're in it. This is for his talk radio career. He's going a bit right wing.
The only bit I'm cutting out is I'm not going right wing on it.
So I'm not doing that.
Well, how are you going to get on these stations?
No, I'm cutting that out, and I'm also cutting out when I called her sweetheart.
Yeah, you should cut that bit out, mate. I think you'd have an uproar on Twitter for that. As soon as you said that, I was like, where can I duck from the camera?
I'm not cutting out this show.
Oh, no, it's staying in here.
It'd be cut out my show reel.
It's fine.
I'm surprised you didn't jump across the table, mate. I say that to one of my cast members. I'm getting punched in the face.
Look, she can't jump across the table.
There's a computer in the middle.
She can run through there and make a cup of tea, but she can't jump across the table, can she?
Mate!
Get that cleaner out of there!
You guys. Would you be my girl? Would you be my girlfriend? Would you be my Check it. He don't want you like I want you, believe me, boo, I done told you. He don't appreciate you, mom, I can tell by the way. He don't love you like I could love you, squeeze you like I make your neck pop back, and in fact I buckle your knee. It's okay, baby, what's it gonna take for you to be my lady? Tell me right now. Tell you should, tell you what's good. Your little sister keep yelling, Ellie, I wish you would. But you're hesitating, debating whether or not it's real. I ain't shooting game, boo, I'm just telling you how I feel. I'm digging everything about you, your hips and the way they sway. I hate to see you leave, boo, but love to see you walk away. I be your personal shrink, boo, I care what you think. I bought the Bentley in pink, cause my dough in sync. So tell your man, bye-bye, and tell him you're long. Ain't no need in waiting up, you didn't find you another home.
I don't know why you care.
Why you thinking about it, mama?
He doesn't even know you're there.
Cause
he don't love your eyes, and he don't love your smile. Girl, you know that ain't fair.
Come on.
The middle of the night, is he gonna be by your side? Or will he run it high?
You don't know, cause things ain't clear.
Baby, when you cry, is he gonna stand by your side? Does the man even know you're alive?
I got an idea.
Don't you be my girlfriend, I'll treat you.
sure that it's real?
Are you sure?
Does he ease your mind? Or does he break your stride? Did you know that love could be a shield? Yeah.
Your toes free.
What's wrong, ma?
Your man ain't ringing your door.
Don't trip if you strip to a country boy. Now come on.
Ever since I saw your face, nothing in my life has been the same. I walk around saying your name. Without you, my world would end. Yeah. I search around this whole damn place, and everything says you were meant to be my girlfriend. Oh. Why don't you be my girlfriend?
People think it's me being lazy, but it's my, you heard them with your own ears. My producer saying, "Oh, don't just double play it."
No, that's not what I said. The reason was because Hope is arriving; he's about to hear. But I didn't know want to bring him in like now, or whether we should put a short song.
I like Taz, by the way.
Love Taz.
Last guest.
Love Taz. Green go and see him. His play at the Park Theatre.
Yeah, it's
until
Warheads. It's called Warheads 50. Because I think he was the epitome of you selling your product by selling yourself.
Yeah,
is what I thought.
Personality. No, I totally agree.
Not even just personality, just your general way of being.
Yeah, he's great.
His attitude seemed fucking bob on in the 25 minutes I spoke to him. So I'd be like, no, I want him to do well. He's like really nice dad. And he, you know, there's clearly a... You can see his eyes change when he talks about his friend who was away and all that sort of stuff. And you could see that it was something that meant something to him. So
I'm just checking. Is Hope there now? Should we bring Hope in? Let's welcome to the studio.
Yeah.
Now, with our usual way of welcoming guests in.
What, we clap them through the
we
door?
Clap them in!
We don't.
Hi.
Sorry, Hope. We don't.
Hope. No, we don't normally clap.
We never
in.
Clap people
I
through the door.
I was trying not to make him work. The first one, though, right?
We were expecting you to come in like dressed as a pop star, like stars in their eyes, where you just come through a door. It's up. What's the matter?
No, I was just checking. It was all good. I wasn't.
I mean, there's a lot of peripheral noise because fucking Will is banging about the place, opening doors and slamming stuff. That's why you were sacked off this show, Will.
No, he's made
why
it
have
back.
You got, why have you got Will? That's,
I just,
that bloke
up.
There.
Yeah,
he used to work on the show.
Was he all right?
Look,
to you?
Will, what are you doing?
He's bringing water.
But you know what the handle's for? So you can do it silently.
Come in. Hope, do you have any issues with Will? Just let me know. HR is going to come in
I
and see you.
No problem. Will's been all right to me. No, he's been nice to me.
He's a dick.
He's not. He's
an out and out dick.
No.
He doesn't know this, but I had him sacked, and then she went, "Oh, we're just going to move you." But I had him sacked.
I had to get the actor in from Grantchester to fire him. Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember.
I had to get an ITV
that,
actor to come in and fire Will because he wouldn't go.
Did that, and then I turned up today with no text, nothing like that, no prior warning. Mm. Oh, Will's doing the show today. I'm like, fucking isn't. But I've got no choice.
Well, you know, it is what it is. Enough about Will.
I'm getting your press release, Hope. Hang on a minute. Oh, that's an easy press release, isn't it? Yeah, okay, cool. So we're talking about Hope Ikpoku Jr.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're talking about the new series of Top Boy on Netflix, which is out in the autumn. Natalie, this is Natalie, the producer, she was telling me earlier on, I don't really watch any telly.
I do.
But she told me she'd watched Subway and she loved it.
Because it's on Netflix, right? Yeah, the third series, well, which is the first two series. And is it right that it's coming straight to Netflix?
It's coming straight to Netflix, yeah. So the original ones were on Channel 4.
Okay.
Yes. And,
yeah, now they're coming onto Netflix this season.
They're both series are on
Have
there.
You been
very
in
good.
All the series so far
no,
as well?
No, I wasn't in the old ones. The old ones were like, I don't know, like 2011.
Yeah,
so
you
I was
would have been
quite young.
Very young.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And what is it? You can between you can tell me.
You want to explain? All
right. No, she doesn't know.
No, I do know, but you're in the third series, so you might be able to.
She doesn't recall information.
So the last season follows the character of Deshane, who's played by Ashley Waters.
Okay.
And it's his lead.
I've worked with him.
Have you worked with him?
Yeah. I think I worked with him for one day.
And what was that on?
You can't wait to say
that.
Remind me then.
Okay,
I'll
Ashley Waters down.
Yeah, so Ashley Waters, it follows his character called Deshane.
Yeah.
And Deshane's basically rise to becoming the top boy. That's why it's.
Got you, okay. Okay.
And he just wants to be the kingpin of the area,
right,
that sort of thing. So the two seasons follow his journey becoming that kingpin.
Okay.
And then at the end, without spoiling it, in case you watched the last one, something big happens and then it causes him to leave the area. And it sort of just
hang on. Right. I mean, I appreciate you when I won't spoil it, but when you said leave the area,
leave the country, he's in the third series of it.
Is that Ashley's
in it?
Is Ashley still in it now?
Yeah, and so is Kano.
Yeah.
Who's this?
This is the other his
He's
mate
the other, like,
in
main
Top
character.
Boy,
okay. Yeah.
Okay. And they kind of fell out over the series two and kind of broke apart.
You're both ruining it for me. I appreciate it's my fault for not watching it.
but they're both back in it. Kano and Ashley.
Yeah, they're both back in it.
Yeah, but I'm gonna sit through series one and two.
Do you know what?
I know they're gonna
fall out, that sort of thing.
And yeah, I
don't know what it's about, and maybe.
I do. It's about Ashley Waters being top boy.
Yeah, there's other stuff.
Exactly. A lot of other things happen.
What else happens? That's the only bit I'm interested in.
Well, another one. There's just loads of stuff that happened. As well as Ashley Waters' character, you're also following there's younger characters in it as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got this character called Jem. He's got this nice dog. So you see the relationship with his dog.
Okay.
And he's got another character that plays football. And you're like, sort of following his sort of journey. He wants to play football. He wants to sort of like make out of the area, sort of thing. So there's loads of other aspects to it. But Deshane's obviously the main, Waters' character is the main one.
I'm always interested. I've asked people like this before, but I do genuinely find it interesting about what it feels like to go into a pre-established production. You know what I mean? So if you're going in at the moment, and it's like how that feels, it's been successful.
Yeah.
And it's sort of when you're dropped into that.
Well, there's a big gap, I have to say, between series two to three, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know how many years, but it was quite a few years.
I like that there, and I presume that's referenced within the actual storyline.
Yeah,
that
right.
So many years have passed.
Yeah. And it was Drake. You know Drake, the Canadian rapper. I don't know if you do know who Drake is, but most people do.
So I like him.
It was him, really. He was always a fan of Top Boy.
Yeah,
wasn't he?
Was a fan. He said he liked it
and kept posting on Instagram and stuff about it. And then I know it's not just down to him, but he's involved with the series two. Although he's an exec producer, but he's not in it, right? Which he would have been a bit out of place. When a Canadian guy just turning up with Drake,
So he was instrumental in bringing it back.
He kept championing it on his social media and saying how much he enjoyed it.
Good,
yeah.
I like that. That's really cool. That's where social media can be used as a force for good, isn't it?
Exactly.
If you're a fan or something in that way. So how is that? How is it dropping in something like that?
I feel like I would have felt that difference a bit more if it was like close together. For say, like, I don't know, season one and two were last year and the year before, and I just jumped in now. I feel like I would have felt that difference a lot more. But I feel like because there was so many years on and that not as many characters are still in it, so it's like Ashley's character, Kano's character, but then a lot of characters are not in it anymore, so it's not as different. But I feel like you still feel like oh yeah, these guys like created something that they made the last two seasons. But I feel like it's not. You get used to it.
I guess it'd be more like something that's an established show rather than so somewhat like Doctor Who or whatever, where you're going into a show that's established but that does have floating cast and does have you presume floating crew as well. So yeah, I guess that wouldn't be quite as intimidating.
Yeah,
I would hope. Well, is this how many acting roles have you done of this magnitude?
That was the first thing I've done, Top Boy.
How do you feel now about your career? Do you now feel worried that it will never be the same again, or do you feel like we're on the road?
I feel like I'm on the right track.
Right.
Well, you're also because I know Noel Clarke used to do a show here, and so you are also in Bulletproof.
Yeah.
You've done an episode with Noel Clarke and with Ashley Waters again, right? So that's great. Which is the second series
that
they're filming at the moment?
Yeah, that's the third thing I've done with second series.
Okay, for Bulletproof, because it did really well for Sky One. Yeah.
Did I mention that I've worked with
Ashley Waters. No, tell us about it. I didn't know that. Did you know that, Hope? I didn't know that. He didn't mention it, did he?
He
mentioned that.
Can you tell us about that?
I can tell you when it was. 2006.
Yeah. Need more than that. What was that?
I think it was 2006. Do you know what? As I understand it, I'm pretty sure because he got in trouble early on in his career.
He did, yeah.
And I think it was his first thing back. I think.
Because obviously you know him from. I mean, you're a big fan of Solid's crew. Yes,
love him. Yeah, love it. Got it all on vinyl.
Yeah, I know.
But he, all I could think about was that he'd just been in jail. Right. That's all I could think about.
It was a long time ago.
It was in his silly youth. He's now established as a very credible actor and a very good actor as well.
He's excellent.
But it was only a read through that we did. We did a read through of a film, and I had two lines in it, but I had to be there all day. It was so boring. But he was like a main part in the film.
What's
read through.
This film?
I can't remember what it was. I don't know if it ever got made.
Oh, okay.
Just an industry read through. I sat next to him all day and we had a chat every now and again.
Well, that's nice. I mean, I imagine you probably have a better story of Ashley Waters because you've worked with him on two different projects.
I'm not finished yet. Sorry. Do you know who else was in it?
No, who?
And this would genuinely blew my mind.
Who?
Ron Moody.
Do you know who Ron Moody is, Hope? No.
Do you know who Ron Moody is?
No. He used to be in EastEnders.
No. Oh, no, he might have done. He may have done.
Fitzy.
Oh, bless. He's trying to tell you.
I don't know what you're miming, Will. Fitzy, you're saying?
It's close.
Fagin.
Yep.
Fagin.
Oliver Twist.
I could lip read.
He played Fagin in the musical Oliver in the film and on stage loads as well. Blown away by that. He was lovely.
Okay.
He's died now. He's away now. That's who else I work with. So I know you've worked with Ashley, but did you work with Ron Moody?
No,
I did.
Can't say I have.
Wait, did you do a read through with Ashley, or two line read through that didn't get made into a film though, Hope?
Who's your best one that you've worked with? Who's your best one that you've worked with though?
Like biggest actor?
Or best?
It could just be your personal best one.
Yeah, don't have to be biggest.
It was probably when I saw Dave, Dave Rebel, because he's one of my favourite artists in general, and I didn't know he was going to be in Top Boy, obviously. And I remember coming into the read-through and just seeing Dave there. I was like, what's Dave doing?
Who's this again?
This is the rapper Dave.
Rapper Dave.
He's in Top Boy,
He's in Top Boy as well.
Is that his name, Dave?
Yeah, or Santan Dave. Or Dave.
Santan, there's a female artist, right?
Little Sims
in it too, yeah, great.
Little Sims in it.
Is that a famous one?
Yes, they all are. But you're also in a film, or...
Ron Moody. I work with Ron Moody.
Brilliant. Have you ever worked with Ron Moody?
But I met Jimmy McGovern at the weekend as well.
Jimmy is a writer.
Writer.
What about your film Faith? You're the lead in, right? Have you finished filming that?
Yeah, finished filming.
What can you tell us about that?
Before you do, can I just say that was the most condescending, and I know you didn't mean to do it, but you went, and you're the lead in that, aren't you? Well done.
Did you take that for granted? No, it's just you, Ian, because you've had a two line ring through with Ashley that went nowhere, but Hope doesn't. Because
Ron Moody was in it as well.
Right, Ron Moody. Anyway, sorry, tell us about Faith.
Faith was really fun to film, and I was also in my first lead role.
Yeah.
And Faith was, so storyline essentially follows a man who's in his like 20s, and he's sort of on the roads, if you want to say it like that. And basically he doesn't want to do that anymore because his friend dies at the beginning of the film, and leaves behind a 9-year-old daughter, and he sort of becomes that father figure to that daughter.
Right.
And he realises, like, there's more to life than just, you know, like, killing people, that sort of thing. He wants to take care of his daughter now and sort of come off, like, that sort of lifestyle. And during that, he sort of finds Islam, so he becomes a Muslim.
Okay.
And it sort of follows his journey becoming a Muslim as well as taking care of this daughter and becoming a father figure. And it's quite a beautiful story.
Was that again going to a casting and stuff and getting in there?
It was that sort of thing.
So you weren't, it wasn't something you were involved in its development and that sort of stuff. Well, that's a good sign, isn't it, for you?
Yeah.
I reckon. I can appreciate your confidence now, I think. Any like dead confident?
You are, but you're working on all really good projects. So Top Boy being your first one is incredible because obviously. What do you mention?
Ron
Moody. I'm gonna go nuts.
He did. Like, got a pickpocket or two and all that. He sang all that. The Awful Dodger. No, what I'm saying is, I don't like confidence in people, generally speaking.
Right.
In show business people, like, overall.
Okay.
But I always like it when I don't find it objectionable.
Right.
And I noticed that I wasn't finding Hope objectionable.
Well, that's nice.
It's a compliment.
Isn't it?
You know what I mean? I was like, he's got a proper calm. Steady confidence there.
Okay.
I envied it. But I imagine you're feeling the same thing about me working with Ron Moody that day.
Yeah, I assume like, you're pretty confident working from me.
Yeah, and that Ashley, that two-line read-through with Ashley, read-through, like, that was it. That was got confident, you know, but not objectionable.
Don't think I missed the bit where you went, oh, just doing a read-through, didn't get picked up. Well, I'll tell you now, Nat, that I knew when I was doing that read-through, I wasn't even available for the filming dates.
Oh, I see.
I just went down and did it as a favour. I've got no interest whatsoever in being in it.
I think Ashley actually mentioned that to you, Hope, didn't he, about the time when he worked with Ian on a two-line read-through.
But Ashley's not shut up about it. I occasionally mention it, very occasionally, but I reckon Ashley's been giving it.
Oh,
I bet
Boy.
He says it on the one show.
Well, you probably have to hear it on Top Boy and Bulletproof.
Yeah, Top Boy, Bulletproof is always better around saying
sharp about it, can you? Stop it, Ashley.
Does he ever say things like, oh, can we put a line in about Ian? And they also have a big discussion about it. No, it won't make any sense.
It doesn't make sense, yeah.
And if he just goes, no, but it'd be nice for Ian though, won't it?
He'll
if
know.
Do that. Does he ever say
it's
that?
It's a little code word for Ian there. Which is nice. Well, I'm excited for Top Boy. And so it's. And how many episodes? Six episodes?
10.
Oh, 10 now, okay. Yeah. So that's, I think, where you could watch it with a lot of American shows.
Yeah.
They do like 25 episodes per season.
Too much, innit?
It's a lot, innit, right?
Yeah, too much.
Whereas we know 10.
10's
lovely.
Quite accessible, isn't it?
Good, yeah. Very good.
10's a good length. And, yes. And isn't it telling as well that I think a lot of shows, when they're finishing, when they're in their final season, end up only doing 10?
Yeah, like
that tends to be a thing. People that ones that have done like 20 odd.
20,
yes,
that's
when it's the end, they go right. Yeah, and them series generally speaking are paced better because of that. I think that's my hat in the ring to become a top writer now as well.
Oh, right, so we're on Top Boy 4.
Worked with
Top
Ashley,
Boy series
worked
4.
With Ron Moody.
Yeah,
met Jimmy McGovern at the weekend.
Great.
I've worked out that 10 episodes is the perfect amount.
Just
for
through
series.
That,
yeah,
he's cracked the code.
It's done it, isn't it? It's done it. Who don't need.
Is the writer of Top Boy the same writer that was doing it in like previously?
Yeah.
Do they ever have other writers in?
Not that I know of.
Well, on the next series.
So it might be.
What, you're trying to get yourself cast?
It might
trying
be.
To get in.
So it might be. I mean, I'm not sure I've got much experience of the stuff that's in the show from what you told me. But I could probably like imagine it.
I'm able to pick it up.
Just exactly. Make it up.
That's what a good
I'll just ask people.
Yeah?
See what happens.
Well, do we know yet?
I'll go, first question is, what is a top boy?
Right, okay.
Don't know what that is.
You're like a best boy.
Yeah.
Top boy. I
understood Kingpin. I understood that.
Right, exactly. So you do get it then?
Yeah, just like in charge of all the gangs and that.
Maybe what you could do is just, you could just write Ashley two lines every series.
I think.
Just those two lines for Ashley and that's done.
I think because in the, like, 15 minutes that we've been sat in this studio for this interview, which I've thoroughly enjoyed, by the way, thank you for coming in. In that time I've spoken more to Hope than I did with Ashley for the entire day. So I think I'm probably going to be better suited writing all Hope's dialogue.
Okay, well that'll be nice, I think.
You're okay with that.
Do we know, or are you not allowed to say, I don't know if there's going to be we're calling it season 4 or a series?
Not that I know of. I don't know.
Okay.
It was confirmed.
Well, if someone's coming back, they'll
then they might
play
well
it out,
wanna,
won't they?
Yeah, see.
But it sounds like it's like
it's
anticipated.
Gonna be huge. It's going to be huge when it comes out.
Yeah,
because of Drake being involved in it, because Kano's got new stuff out at the moment, Ashley and the whole cast. It's going to be a massive series
for
Netflix.
She just said, every reason she gave for this being good, she said everything but you.
Is it, you're here, Hope.
You?
You're
never
in it.
Never
of course it's going to be good.
Never mentioned you. Because Drake's in it.
No, he's not in it. Drake isn't in it.
I bet he's in the background in it one bit. I bet
he's produced it.
If he's a big fan of it, there's no way he's not going to be in a crowd scene.
What, do a little background extra walk?
A little background to see his camera just swerve around. You see Drake in the back.
I think it might take it away from reality.
I'll
put money on that.
Well, you think Drake's somewhere in there?
I bet he's on screen somewhere in it.
Okay. I mean, he would want to do that. If Hope? But
Nah.
Not at all?
Nah.
Good job I didn't name a price, isn't it?
Right, exactly. I think as he said, he was a fan, he didn't want to be, he wants to watch it, he doesn't want to be in it.
I'd want to be the lead.
Well, exactly, and that's why that's why you're not Top Boy.
That's why I'm not getting any of these jobs.
Maybe.
Because I turned up saying I want to be the lead in Top Boy.
Never mind. And what's the lead sat there? And you're like, no, it's me.
Yeah. I know the lead a bit.
Oh, Ashley.
I worked with him once.
Did you?
Him and Ron Moody. Yeah, I've not told you.
I'd like to know.
Do you know what? I think there were other famous people in it as well.
Right.
I can't remember who they were. Ray Pantaki was in it.
I'm from EastEnders.
Yeah, he was one of the Ferreras.
But he's done other things, I know that.
That was the day.
Yeah.
This won't mean anything to you, Hope. That was the day when I did that job that I worked with Ray Pantaki, and I said, oh, I met Roger James at a gig not long ago.
Right.
And we had a bit of a laugh back and forward. He was heckling and stuff, and I was like putting him in his place. That was the day I got Raji James's phone number. Ray Pantaki gave me Raji's phone number, which then led to the first podcast that I ever did, because Raji was in that.
Yeah.
And all that followed.
Wow.
So it was actually a pivotal...
It's Ashley's.
No, it was kind of... It was, with retrospect, it was a pivotal day.
Oh, well, that's nice. That's, I believe Ashley kept mentioning that too.
I didn't benefit anything from Ron Moody. No benefit.
Well, exactly.
Other than meeting him, but he was a lovely, gracious gentleman. As were you, Hope. Thanks ever so much for coming in.
Yes.
Yeah.
And best of luck with it.
Thanks for inviting me over.
No.
It's exciting.
I'm excited to watch it. And also Bulletproof as well, which is coming. Do we know when that's coming? Series 2 of Bulletproof?
I think next year.
Okay,
next
cool. Year,
yeah. And is that movie we spoke about, is that out already?
Faith.
No, that's not
Faith.
Out for next year as well.
That's next year as well.
Yeah.
How exciting. Oh, yeah. We can't tell people that we knew you when you come in.
Yeah.
Hope. Do you know what? It's really hard to say your name. Do you know why? Because there's a P, then a K, and then a P.
Loads of consonants in the row.
Yeah, it throws it around, doesn't it? So, yes, say it slowly. Hope Ikpoke Jr., thank you very much for coming into the studio today and having a nice chat about Top Boy.
And
Faith.
Ron Moody,
of course.
And your two lines.
And a two line with Ashley. Yeah. Two line, Ashley.
Do you know what? I can't even remember if it was two. It might have been one.
Oh, no.
I know that it was a waste of my time and everyone else's for me to be sat there. Cheers, Hope.
Wow.
That was terrifying.
That was impressive.
That was Richard Whisker's track Wildfire. Debut single, mate. Not out yet. Debut single. And what I decided was that I would give Richard a call because he's been on the show before.
We spoke about Tracy Beaker
or something.
Yes, we did.
And I've invited Richard back and he's in the studio now with us.
Cool. Thanks for having us.
No, welcome
really
back.
Back.
It's a pleasure. I don't want to put you in the spot.
Oh, God.
On the spot.
That's high, isn't it?
It's a high one, yeah.
What are you going to do when you have to do it live?
Sing it live.
Can you do that note?
Wildfire!
I think it was Aya on the track.
No,
but
that was
still really upsetting. Billy Joel does that, you know, when Billy Joel performs live, all the high notes in Innocent Man that he supposedly performs himself, I think he does perform himself on the record. Someone else sings them on his live concerts.
No.
Really? Yeah, they do, yeah.
Wow. Around the back or on stage?
And he doesn't mime along to it.
There
is someone on stage with him, and he'll say that's...
Oh, I see.
Peter Hewlett, I think his name
okay,
was.
Okay, no, that's good.
He sang all the high notes.
He just has a little bit more.
Because I think, well, you know, don't you? When you record something, you can break the song up.
Yeah.
As you record it.
Yeah.
It's not only that, I feel like there's a vibe when you're in your recording as well. Sometimes it's just in the studio or in the room on the day.
Yeah.
That's why I always find it very awkward re-recording stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just get a vibe on the day.
You can't necessarily replicate it. Yeah. I bet I could.
can you go high pitch?
Yeah,
I thought so. Yeah. I thought you also could. Maybe at some point you'll do a little duet.
No, I used to be able to, but your voice gets like fucked over time, doesn't it?
It does.
And it's like, I can't hit high notes. No. I used to be able to hit.
A lot of honey and lemon and stuff, right. Especially before the studio session. Yeah. It's really, really important.
But how old are you, Richard?
I'm 24.
Okay, so it's quite an odd thing. She just only books people at 24.
I seem to today. If you're over 25,
all
forget about getting on this show.
Yeah, fucking the children show. I actually find it now, if I'm having a sing at home, which I do regularly, I have a little sing and stuff, and I'll warm my voice up, I'm not an idiot, but I find now songs that I used to sing at home quite happily, I can't hit the notes, and it's the weirdest feeling to not be able to do it, because it's like, it's not even there. Like, I don't know how I ever hit that note. It's not even there anymore.
Okay.
It feels like your vocal cords have gone, and we'll just chop them two off.
That's
the end.
So funny you said that, because actually when we was recording the record, the producer did say to me, it's like, over time, it's going to be harder and harder and harder to do that.
Yeah.
But then you listen to people like, I love old school stuff, like the Bee Gees and stuff. Yeah. Like, some of their stuff is really, really high.
But the Bee Gees stuff is sort of like novelty records, aren't they? Like, they're sort of singing like, they're doing a joke, aren't they?
I don't think
that's not proper
joking.
Singing what they're doing. They're taking the piss.
Do you think? I don't think it is.
That's nobody's natural voice. It's piss tape, mate.
I've never heard them speak, so I don't know what their pitch,
not like that.
Their speaking pitch is like.
It's quite deep. You're the tosser, mate. Yeah. That's what he said, didn't he?
Australian, aren't
they? Clive Anderson. That was a bit Australian.
Oh, sorry,
You're the tosser, mate.
Who's the one left? Is it just Barry Gibb now?
Yeah, has anyone left?
Yeah, there is.
All the way.
Yeah.
In my opinion, the most objectionable one.
I don't know which one that
lived
is.
The longest.
Is that the one that looks like a lion?
Yeah.
Him, yeah.
When they did Rock Profile.
It, right?
That's funny.
When Matt Lucas and Dave Williams did Rock Profile back in the day, and they did, do you know Rock Profile?
No.
It's fucking amazing. It was brilliant.
It was a while ago.
They would play pop, it was a channel called UK Play, which was the sister channel to BBC Choice, which became BBC Three.
Okay.
So it was the proper launchpad channel, right? UK Play, then became Play UK. But what it was comedy and music, and mixed, right? Like oil and water, you know, they mixed them in the program. So the remit when you were writing shows for UK Play was you had to have like three pop videos integrated into it in some way around the comedy. Really, like, weird idea, right? But Matt and David were the only two that actually nailed that, and they went, well, then what we will do, we will play the performers.
Yeah.
I'll be H from Steps, you be Lee from Steps.
They did Elizabeth Taylor and Michael Jackson one. That was really funny. Yeah. That was really funny.
And then we'll do just Steps videos
Mark
in that
Jackson
episode.
Like my favourite artist of all time.
Really?
Yeah, that's where I get most of my inspiration.
I think we spoke about this last time.
Yeah. For me, I just feel like nobody's really doing that sound. And obviously, it's been 10 years now since he's died. And obviously, there's loads of controversy with documentaries and stuff like that. But when it actually comes down to the music, there's just nobody that will ever replace him, I feel. And I feel like the world is missing some of that. Like,
where does it, at what level does the controversy eclipse the music? So at what level does it render it? Because Gary Glitter, for example, who I think is as good as Michael Jackson.
Oh,
I think that. So Gary Glitter,
big statement.
Yeah, he's now gone. So and his music, it's
I would say
gone.
The modern equivalent, perhaps, is somebody like R. Kelly, who no doubt can sing, but would
can't talk about that. Ongoing trial.
But you wouldn't be playing his stuff at a disco. Yeah. Whereas Michael Jackson or something, you can do, if people that are in the press.
I would play, if I was running a disco, I would play Gary Glitter songs at the disco.
Well, I know you would, yeah. Well, I was somewhere on that.
I appreciate he is a convicted paedophile. And he's in jail and will probably die in jail, but I would still play Gary Glitter songs at a disco. That would be the hook of the disco.
Right, okay.
I've played them on air.
Moving on swiftly.
What disco would that be? I don't know.
I've played this stuff on air because it winds air up.
Yeah, done every time. I'm like, why?
They've got to pay PRS. So I go, oh, a few more things for Gary Glitter in hospital. Right. In hospital. He'll end up there, won't he?
I was at somewhere else, because I wasn't sure about the Michael Jackson thing, because obviously some people are like, well, we're not being played. There's some radio stations that don't play them anymore. Mm. But where I was at on Saturday, which was predominantly an LGBT event, I was surprised, that was Michael Jackson was played. Also Blurred Lines as well. And I was like, is this okay now? Are we playing this song again?
Right.
Is this fine? I find it quite objectionable, that song. And Robin.
Do you really?
Music.
Do you?
Music's music. I mean, you got rock people back in the day.
That was profound. That was profound, what you just said.
Rock people back in the day.
Music's music.
I feel like you've got people like Black Sabbath, people like that, yeah, talking about drugs and alcohol and touring the world. And I think music's just so like universal now. It's just about everything. It's about image. I feel you just have to take it for
all my flippancy about Gary Glitter, and I do. I actually genuinely thought Gary Glitter's stuff was brilliant.
His music.
At the time, yeah, I really did.
His music.
No. His sex criminality. I thought was brilliant. The music I can take or leave.
Right.
Now.
Okay.
I did think that, but however, he is done now for me. That's like, you know, it's done.
Yeah.
And I'll play it as a joke, but there is that thing of, and there's TV programs that I can't watch because I know they're a cunt in real life, because people I've worked with and stuff. I can't even watch that because of that.
And I guess it's the same with what's he is in the press recently, Lost Prophets guy.
Mm. Yeah,
because you know there are a lot of people, massive fans of Lost Prophets, tattoos and stuff, and then suddenly that happened, like, oh well, you definitely can't
never
be,
get a tattoo.
You can definitely not be wandering around with that Lost Prophets tattoo on show anymore. Like, I don't know, I think it's a bad thing, it's a risky move, isn't it?
God, I
don't
know.
Do you get a tattoo? Have you got any tattoos, Richard?
I have got tattoos
off people though.
No,
not people. I want to get my other arm done.
That's
like
a person. Who's that?
This is
acting
mask.
Yep,
that represents,
got it.
I only would get something that really means something to me.
Yeah, but what if that thing then, like, later on? Because I've got a
tattoo.
Yeah, not me, but somebody's got
someone's got a tattoo of Ian's face.
Have they? Who?
Yeah, one of his fans.
Someone that just saw me in the street went, that's exactly what I want.
That is so cool, though. That's like dedication.
It's that part of it is absolutely, that's lovely. And he's a lovely bloke as well. He's a really nice bloke.
Yeah.
I get on very well with him and stuff. And I can't get past, I'm like, you don't know me enough. Like, you don't, you know what I mean? You don't know. I could be doing anything. You've got no clue. There was no clues about anyone.
Right.
There wasn't.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
You should say that. I actually this morning on Instagram.
I'm not. I'll point out, I'm not.
Tattoo of who?
Snoop Dogg, funny enough.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And it was just really bizarre, that on the back of the back of the calf. And I was just like, why would you want Snoop Dogg?
I think it's dead.
You know, I love Snoop.
Yeah, me too. I don't want a tattoo of him. Yeah.
It's so risky.
Yeah, I do think, and obviously you'll be like the person that's got your face, respect that, but I do find I do wonder though, what would Snoop say? What's he going to say? Like,
friends it himself. He's like fan art, fan love.
And
he supports it. Like,
I always discourage it.
Do you?
Yeah, just so I feel okay with it. Just so I can go, look, I really don't want you to. I don't think you should do. If you want to do it, I'm not saying no, you can't.
No,
it's like,
I don't know how I would feel.
I always
about
discourage it.
If someone
what,
done
what's
that
your
me?
Reaction
like,
gonna
I
be?
I just don't know.
Will you not be a little bit creeped out a little bit? That your
would,
face
yeah.
is on someone's
I
body.
I
never felt creeped out.
Really?
No, I didn't feel creepy. It wasn't creepy.
Right.
No, creepy is definitely the wrong word.
But it's just like
it was weird, but not creepy.
Oh, you don't really know me well enough to be doing that. Like, there's
nobody knows anyone well enough to do that.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't mean, you don't know me in real life. I mean, nobody knows anyone well enough to commit to that.
A face tattoo on their body of someone else.
Who knows what could happen? And people's careers get ended unjustifiably nowadays as well, you know, for, you know, get accused of being things that they're not, and and that flares up and then they're finished. So it's like,
I think family portraits, like if you was going to have someone who's passed away in your family,
again, I don't trust any of them.
Oh, yeah, don't
trust any of them, not one of them.
Well, maybe not your family then.
Wouldn't have my family. I'd have someone else's family. Have the Waltons put on or something like that.
Do you know who the Waltons are?
No.
Yeah, giving out references today that no one's understanding.
No, I'm rebelling against the against the mean age that you've been bringing in today.
Always.
You've gone, I'm going to bring all successful children into the show. I was like, right, well, I'm going to do all cultural references from before they were born.
We just explained before who Drake was, so.
Oh, come on.
Didn't know it was.
Come on.
He was an explorer, wasn't he, Drake?
No, I think that's Dora. Yeah.
I think you'll find that Drake was.
Oh, you mean
Dora.
Oh, that fella, yeah. come on.
It's Francis Drake.
Francis Drake, that was his name, about. I forgot.
Not some, two-bit rapper.
Whoa!
Is that what he does?
Drake is not a two-bit rapper. Oh my god! Okay.
I think he has more Grammys than Michael Jackson.
Yeah,
now.
I think
does
so.
He?
Yeah,
oh, does
yeah.
He?
One of the most successful music artists in the world. Yeah, of all time.
How did he get his Grammys? Did he do them in a drive-by? Is that how he got his Grammys? Did he steal them from the front of a shop or something?
Well, that's very stereotypical, isn't it?
Because they're all in gangs. Well, all the rappers, they're all gangsters, mate.
I think maybe you're thinking of the old school days. Right. When other artists came out, I think nowadays they're not so much promoting themselves as being gangsters anymore, are
they?
I don't
Drake
think
now?
Drake is really. Where is he from in Canada? I don't know. Actually,
has he got his own headphones or something?
I think he's from Toronto.
Toronto,
yeah,
okay,
so.
Right, yeah. Oh dear. Anyway,
the Beastie Boys would have stolen.
Well, they weren't in a gang. You're really barking up the wrong tree.
The
here.
Beastie Boys would have stolen the Grammys because they were credible and hip. Only when they first started. Though.
Well, no, they still are.
Not later on.
Now.
They weren't later on the Beastie Boys, but yeah, when they
funny.
First started, they were very
heard
credible.
That word in ages.
Beastie Boys. No, they're hip. Very still hip. Credible hip. And hip.
Yep.
That
hip.
We use. Yeah.
Hip hop as well. They were hip
they were.
And hip hop.
Indeed, they still well. Are. Yeah, they still are.
I can do it. I can blag it.
Can I just say I really love your T-shirt?
Thanks.
It's really cool.
Have I got to pay a compliment about your clothes?
No, I just really
see
like
that?
It.
Young person came in, said that my threads are banging. Essentially, is what he said.
That's exactly what you said, actually, isn't it? I think your thread is banging.
It's not an official shirt, though.
There's the Blues Brothers, you know. Did you know?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was two nice men on your chest.
do you know what? A man on the train today went. I wrote down what he said because it made me laugh, but I forgot what it was. He referenced because I realized I was working on my laptop. And I've got Blues Brothers stickers on my laptop, and I've got
like
a Blues Brothers T-shirt
on. Oh God!
And he said something about, "Oh, someone likes Blues Brothers," or something like that. But he wasn't being a twat. He was just,
no.
He was like, and I went, "Well, not." And I was like, "Oh God, yeah, I'm like an advertising board for Blues Brothers."
Really?
Yeah. I like your glasses.
Thank you very much.
I thought that last time though.
Yeah. Okay,
are they what do they call them? Reactor lenses.
No.
They look like they
well,
are.
That means if you go outside, they go, yeah. They react to the sun and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, no, yes, they do. I found out this the other day.
Oh, okay.
So they are.
Yes, it hasn't been sunny
are.
For a while.
I found out the other day as I walked into a lamppost. I was on my way to hospital because I thought I'd had a stroke. Who finds out after they've bought them?
Well, maybe it hasn't been sunny for a while.
It's so dangerous. What the fuck is happening here?
Why has it got
all
dark?
The lights have gone out.
Dark.
That's funny.
That's good.
Come on, we're out of time.
We've got to talk about Flatmate.
Plugged your thing.
I've got to talk about, which is on iPlayer now.
Yes.
Right.
So it was out last Monday.
Yeah.
We go today.
What channel was it on?
It's
was it
on,
3?
It's BBC iPlayer, and I think they're going to do BBC, CBBC.
Yeah, okay.
And then maybe a BBC slot as well, ooh. If possible.
So it's a kids thing.
It's a kids thing.
And I've been effing and Jeff
it's
all
more,
the way through the internet.
No, that's
cool.
It's more for teenagers, so we're going into that late sort of teenage market now where
okay.
CBBC wouldn't really talk about sex and partying. And,
yeah.
And drinking and stuff like that, and now we're moving into that market, which is much better for the end of the audience,
yeah.
From CBC, and obviously everyone watches stuff online now, so we've dropped the first six episodes, 1 to 6, and there's another 4 I think to remain that comes out next week.
Okay, it's cyclical, isn't it, kids telly? I think, and I think there's a there are lessons to be learnt, I think, in that I think kids telly went from being kind of edgy and a bit, you know, having a bit of edge, no, edge is the right word. Having some edge to it,
yeah.
And then I think it went round to being like when they started calling it CBeebies and all that sort of stuff. It was like, oh, it sounds childish now. It sounds you know, very sort of, and they did. It seemed to favour more shows that were a bit more polished and a bit more unlikely to have any sort of offence come from there or anything like that.
Right.
And I think that will come around because Grange Hill, if you think of the,
Grange Hill, Biker Grove as well.
Yeah.
They had a lot of kind of
wasn't Biker
issues.
Grove ITV?
No, it was BBC.
Was it BBC, was
BBC
it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Children's Ward was ITV.
And Press Gang.
Yeah. Press Gang was Channel 4.
It was Channel 4.
Press Gang, wasn't it?
Press Gang was Channel 4.
I thought it was Channel 4.
No, I didn't think so.
Press Gang was Channel 4.
You sure?
Yeah.
But when they had not long ago, had a kind of, what's it called, CITV? Press Gang was part of that.
Right. I forgot about CITV.
Yeah, no, and they put, that's where I watched
the
one
of
those. But that's what I like about when you said
ITV. It's ITV. I knew Press Gang was. It wasn't Channel 4.
And
I knew it.
CBBC, CBeebies. But I actually think now the BBC iPlayer is the perfect platform for this show, because I just think it's attacking that old end of the audience. The feedback's been great on social media. People are really enjoying the show. And it's good for me as well to step out of just doing kids stuff into more of a teen adult market.
Well, I guess you grow up with them, don't you? So they're like, they're, and they're the best sort of, you know, we can say it across rights. Well, Harry Potter's the perfect example of that, of something that grew up with its audience and was reflective of that as it went on. You know, it wrote to the age of they would be now, the core audience originally. Yeah. And I think it's quite cool for performers to do that as well, because it didn't... I think there's nothing worse. I don't mean nothing worse. Like, murder, I guess, is worse. But it's a horrible thing when you see someone... Like, I always felt, with all due respect and all love to them, I always felt the Chuckle Brothers looked wrong as they got older and older and older.
And they were still...
But they could have moved with their audience.
Right, because their audience who liked them when they were kids would have liked them when they were teenagers. Yeah, yeah, you're completely right.
And I also, by the way, don't infer from that I mean that somebody of that age can't be on telly for that age. I don't mean that. I think because they aged with the show, there was something that the behaviours didn't change within the show. Right. So it felt less and less, and I don't mean, not appropriate, that's the wrong word, but less and less... It got less funny because it was like, oh no, but now it just looks, they should be doing something different now. You know what I mean? I find it a little bit with Vic and Bob doing Big Night Out again, a little bit, but I think there's enough brilliant stuff in that to keep it afloat.
Right, okay.
I think the best people, from my opinion, to ever do it is someone like Ant and Dec, where they've gone from kids
totally that
all the way through. And it's something that I want to do myself, which I feel now is the right time for me to release my music. It's something I've been waiting for such a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
Ever since I've been doing acting, I wanted to do the music. I wanted to show people what type of music I want to do. And now we're moving into more of the late teen adult market.
Yeah.
That's why I feel like it was right to release the first single now, Wildfire, and get people noticing.
And that's tying in with the series as well.
Tying in with the series,
it's going to be that. But that wasn't the original plan, is that right?
No, I just feel like it was the right time this year to release something.
Yeah.
Flatmates came along. It's a perfect show for, like I said, teen adult market. And I felt like, because they've been following me through the years for all the other stuff that I've done for CBBC and etc., I felt like now's the right time to release the single.
Yeah.
So hopefully people like it and enjoy it. It's on episode 4, by the way, if you want to check it out.
Fuck them if they don't. You do your song. Are you happy with it?
I am. I'm very pleased. Yeah.
They don't like it, it's their fault. Not your fault. Do you think it's a shame that Ant and Dec don't do acting anymore? I think that's a shame.
I'm sure their
bank manager doesn't think it's a shame.
What did they do? Biker Grove,
They did a film, didn't they, about aliens?
Alien
autopsy thing, that thing they did.
I don't really remember that film.
It was
about
Roswell, wasn't it? About the faking of... I don't know.
Yeah, probably. I don't remember it. But I do remember... I think they were pretty good acting. They were, weren't they?
No, they were good actors in everything.
Here's a question that I don't actually know the answer to.
Right.
When did they do Let's Get Ready to Rumble?
They were PJ and Duncan when they released that. They weren't Ant and Dec yet.
The character names they were doing. Yeah,
yeah, so they were. So that would have been. So,
I know this actually. I actually know.
I'm 90 trying, something.
Let me just work it out. I know this. I know it was. It was 1994. 94. Yeah, I remember that.
It was released. Do you remember when it was released in 94?
Yeah, it was released in 94.
It's not like people
in that year.
Let's Get Ready to Rumble. Even now, with Ant and Dec moving forward and doing other things and presenting, you play that song, you always remembered. And it's the same sort of idea I had with the show, where if I do music set or whatever, people would always go back to the show and go, "Oh wow, that was a cool tune they did on that."
And
something Ant and Dec would done really, really smart.
Yeah.
Do you think it was their idea? They seem savvy businessmen, don't they?
They seem like they either have always been incredibly savvy as business, or they've had really good people advising them to make the transition.
I hope they're not dicks. I doubt they would be.
Really sad if they were.
I've met them a few times. They're really, really lovely guys.
Yeah.
And funny enough, they watched a show that I did years ago called Friday Download, which I thought they would never, ever see.
Yeah.
And they came up to me straight away and said, "We love the show and we watch it." And it was just so refreshing to be like, "Oh my God," Ant and Dec turned around and said that they watch a show that I'm on. It's like,
which one's your favourite though, Richard?
I don't have a favourite.
When did they say this to you?
This was about 3 or 4 years ago. Yeah. It was on the same
you've got to keep in
time.
Mind one of them might have been pissed.
I wouldn't put it past them, Ian. I wouldn't put it past them.
No, that's the measure of Ant and Dec, isn't it? The fact that they can survive a scandal like that.
Yeah.
That is incredible, that's actually. I've thought about that for a while. Like, I mean,
it's deeply unfair.
There's a lot of people,
on other people
who would have happened what happened to Ant and would definitely, that would have been a career ender, right? Absolutely, 100%.
Most.
In fact, most people would not have got, kind of not got away with it, because of course he did go to rehab and he has come out a changed man, whatever, whatever. But
let's not dismiss that if he has.
No, well, he has. That's
and whatever,
great.
Whatever.
No, what I mean is that's great, but a lot of people have exactly the same thing happen to them. Yeah, that's yeah. They're done. That's it.
Being a bit controversial now, just at the same, if someone like Philip Schofield done the same thing, yeah. I think again it would be overlooked. I think people,
I
think you're potentially right. And do you know what it is? I can tell you exactly why it is. It's because it's a rare thing that gets pulled off successfully.
Yeah,
you're looking at me as if I'm going to say bribes or something.
No,
I genuinely think this. The audience genuinely believe in their heart of hearts that they know them.
Yeah,
they genuinely believe that they're their friends.
Yeah. Do you think
that, that's the attitude they have? So there's, right. there's a degree of forgiveness because yeah. they're acting in a way they would act if it was a member of their own family, and if it was okay. someone. So they're more understanding than they are just hearing about someone who said something that everyone's decided to interpret in a certain way,
yeah.
or that was said in that way, and they can jump on that bandwagon and destroy that career.
I think I get that. And also, but I think it's growing up with somebody. The same with Philip
Schofield. I agree about Philip Schofield.
He's been on TV. I think completely right about Philip Schofield too. I think because he's been on TV since, you know, children's TV presenting days to yeah. now, and he's on TV 5 days a week, people do think they know him, and so and they like him. So if he was to do something like that, I think he would come out all right as
but
well.
With great power comes great responsibility. I mean, do you think Philip Schofield gets up in the morning and goes, I could fucking kill someone today if I wanted?
I don't know if he'd get away with that. I think that's a bit...
No, do you know what I mean? Like, he could go, do you know what? I'm not even going to renew my driving licence.
I'm going to just drive yeah, around without a licence.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to tax
there's
this.
There's one person that I met, and I'm not going to say any names, but there's one person that I met who's a big idol of mine okay. growing right. up. And I met him at a BAFTA award ceremony in right. London. And he was very, very horrible.
Oh, say it was!
No, don't say it on it, say it off it.
Oh, yeah,
we'll
it
find
was.
Out in 5 minutes
so
off
upsetting.
It.
It was so upsetting.
That's what
and
it
I
is
just
bad
feel
when
like,
you meet.
Oh
yeah.
my God, I've grown up with this person yeah. and I thought this person was like this.
No.
The complete opposite.
But do you absolutely think that's what they're just like, or do you think that it could... It's one of them, isn't it? You can't...
It could be having a bad day. You yeah. don't have to judge
and it sounds like such a cliche, but it's like, try and imagine... That from now till forever, when you are out in public, you've got to be on your absolute best behaviour. You've got to be courteous and give time to every single person you meet,
right.
everybody that talks to you, even if they're rude. Even if
yeah,
they come over
true.
To rude,
it's like that.
You've
you
got
could
to be
eating, you could be having a meal
yeah.
somewhere.
You could just be
and
tired and feel, I'm really tired,
yeah,
I don't have energy.
Frank Carson told me to piss off once and I hated him from then onwards. But
that's
then
a comedian.
Afterwards, years
he doesn't
later,
know who Frank Carson
he was a hugely
is.
Famous comedian in the 70s, but then years later I thought, he was having his dinner and I ran up and asked him for an autograph.
Yeah.
And that didn't occur to me as a kid. And it wouldn't occur to you as a kid, you know yeah. what I mean? So I think there was a level of, like, it was a kid, so you didn't need to be that rude. But I remember him saying, piss off, was it at Motorway Services?
What's sad.
I think he was having scampi.
That's what I'm saying, dinner. That stayed with you, though, you know what I mean? So yeah, it just shows you the yeah. level of responsibility. It doesn't cost nothing to be nice manners to take you around the world.
Yeah.
And people who do follow you, it's like, take that 2 minutes out to do a photo, take that 2 minutes out to have a conversation.
So
it
of
goes
course,
a long way.
Exactly, so when you met, it was that you met the BAFTAs?
Don't.
The
I'm not
no, no,
oh,
no.
You dick, he would have done it.
I know he's on it, I know where you're going.
No, I'm not letting him saying it on air, no.
Maybe, it was
let me just say, you will know him straight away.
What was it, him?
Do you think I would guess it now straight away?
No.
It was it the was it kids BAFTAs?
Is he dead?
It was kids BAFTAs. It was kids BAFTAs.
Was it Phil Fletcher?
No. Was it
I'll tell you who was really
was
nice
Hacker,
though, on the flip side. John Landis, the guy who
died.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, fuck off! Bring a fucking 24-year-old who starts straight off his met John Landis.
That's amazing. Thank you for mentioning that name, because he's really pissed off. He'd love to have met John Landis.
John Landis is amazing.
How did you meet John Landis?
So he was at the kids BAFTAs, and I only knew him because I watched the Michael Jackson black and white video.
Yeah,
video,
yeah, he did do that.
And
yeah.
I
did
realized
that as well.
That he
yeah.
was the director of that, and obviously being a massive Michael Jackson fan, I was like, oh my God, I have to go and say hello. Like, I have to do it. And usually I don't like doing stuff like that, but I was just like, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. Just go and say hello. And yeah, we just chatted for a little while and I took a picture of him. It was a great memory for me because I'm a massive fan. But
Ian would have liked that too. Ian
you know
met Ron
that,
Moody, some fella called Ron Moody.
Do you know that John Landis as well was somebody whose career we could argue either did or didn't survive a scandal?
Do you know about the Twilight Zone?
I don't.
What happened? When
give me
Twilight Zone
quickly
film.
Of that.
Can't, we can't run out of time.
Running out of time. But Google
time,
that and you'll find what happened to him on the Twilight Zone. Yeah. And there was a court case.
Well, what happened? Yeah. I mean, what happened to him? He was like, I guess you could look at it one way that he was to blame, but it wasn't for
It wasn't intentional, obviously, but it was.
Eddie Murphy that slightly brought him back onto. Was it Coming to America?
Coming to America.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of my favourite.
Right.
Films.
Then he did Beverly Hills Cop 3, which wasn't good.
No, we can't win them all.
No, Landis. I think. Yeah, he's amazing, John Landis. Isn't he? I've got his autograph, but I've never met him. Isn't that weird?
That's funny. But I think you. I believe Richard has met him though, and he's got a photo with him.
Have you ever met Jimmy McGovern?
No.
I met him at the weekend.
We did a two-line table read with
Have
Ashley Walters.
Have you met Ashley Walters? So Solid Crew?
No.
Right?
Not yet.
Have you met... I've got big ones.
Yeah.
Have you met Tom Hanks?
No, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Have you met Jennifer Lopez?
Don't tell me you met Jennifer Lopez.
What?
See you next week.
Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah!
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.